We're on.
Ready?
Yeah.
Good morning and welcome to our March 6th meeting.
That too.
Good morning. By your attention. Sorry we were a couple minutes late. Good morning. Welcome to our March 6th meeting. Please rise and join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, before you read the changes to the agenda, I want to announce that the reason we're looking a little thin up here, and that's not for some of the supervisors. Supervisor Obit and Supervisor Gibson are in Washington, D.C. As we speak. And when I watched the Today Show this morning, I think they said it was 14-degree wind chill factor and a day of about 33 and some snow flurries. So I don't think they're having as much fun in beautiful weather as we are here. So with that, Madam Clerk, changes, please.
You have several changes to today's agenda. Item A2, presentation of employee service awards. Staff is requesting that the transmittal and staff report be replaced to omit Jerry Shea from the list of honorees, as he won't be able to attend today. Under consent agenda, item B17A is amended. That's track 2494, a proposed subdivision resulting in 18 lots by DLG Development, LLC, Teff Street, and Napomo. Reject the offer of dedication for streets, drainage, and public utility easement without prejudice to future acceptance. This is in the 4th District. Staff is requesting this item be amended, adding a resolution accepting the pedestrian sidewalk access easement and a resolution approving an open space easement for this agreement for this track. The staff report and resolutions are attached. Under board business items, you have an added item, item D2, presentation of the Information Technology Department Performance Profile. This item was continued from the February 27, 2007 meeting. All requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied, as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirements. You have a withdrawn item under board business, item D1, presentation of probation department's performance profile. Staff is requesting that item D1 be withdrawn and brought back at a later date. Under closed session, you have an added item, conference with real property negotiator. It is the intention of the board to meet in closed session to have a conference with its real property negotiator concerning the following. Number 15, property description, book 75, pages 111 through 116, and book 61, page 91, La Grande Beach, Oceano. Parties with whom negotiating, State of California, Andy Zilke. Instructions to negotiator will concern price, terms, and conditions. Under pending litigation, conference with legal counsel under existing litigation. You have two added items, items 16 and 17, Citizens for Planning Responsibly versus County of San Luis Obispo and Vaughn versus County of San Luis Obispo. All requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement, and that's your changes today.
And you did that entire change order in 3 breaths.
Did I do it?
I'm impressed.
Are you counting my breaths? What?
With that, motion to approve presentation.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Shajian.
Aye.
Mr. Patterson.
Aye.
Mr. Linthal.
Aye. Well, we're moving quickly this morning. With that, Supervisor Shajian, if you'd read the proclamation claiming March 7th as Grand Jury Awareness Month, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have members of the grand jury, please? You can use either podiums if you wish to. The following resolution is hereby ordered and read. Whereas the civil grand jury is made up of 19 citizens who are chosen from a list of volunteer applications by the judges of the Superior Court and serve for 1 year. And whereas the responsibility of this grand jury is to ensure that government entities and prisons under its jurisdiction are performing with efficiency, effectiveness, honesty, and impartiality. And whereas the grand jury primarily relies upon public awareness and responsiveness of the public to its reports of findings and recommendations. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim March 2007 as Grand Jury Awareness Month in order for all citizens to become better acquainted with the purpose of the jury, to give attention to the grand jury's reports to the public, and to actually participate in the grand jury process. Thank you for all your volunteerism and hard work. If you come forward and accept this resolution, please.
And if you'd like to say a few words, now would be a good time.
But you have described it very well. And, of course, we're always looking for members who might want to serve for next year. So I just want to make a little plea to the people here that serving on the grand jury is a wonderful opportunity to learn about government, to participate actively as a watchdog for the county government, and also to have a wonderful time. And so I've been on the grand jury for 2 years. I've enjoyed it tremendously, and I hope you will consider the possibility yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, ma'am, you forgot to state your name for the record.
Joanna Hamburg.
You have to state it in the microphone for the audience here.
Joanna Hamburg, foreperson.
Thank you.
And I'm Jim Reagan. I'm president of the former Grand Jurors Association.
Thank you both.
Jerry, would you like to comment?
Supervisor Patterson?
Yeah. I just want to thank the members of the grand jury. They have a very awesome responsibility, and it is a lot of hard work, but a grand opportunity. And I want you to know that the board certainly does appreciate the efforts that you all make.
Thank you. Our next resolution is going to be for the entire
grand jury. I did pretty miss that comment on the grand jury thing.
Yes. David Dugan. Sorry, I didn't see you at the bottom of your list. This was stuck to your other slip that you had that you gave me.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. Considering the fact that I'm not going to be able to exercise my freedom of speech concerning Los Osos, the grand jury should be aware of this matter as well. Well, what I was going to speak about is just recently, the grand jury did an investigation or an inquiry into the our elections department or officials over here concerning the Diabolt voting machines and such what and how they do their voting, count the votes. My concern is that they missed the boat on this, because I know I'm going to get gaveled down here. In September of 2005, we had a recall election in Los Osos, which happened 30 days short
Los Osos
when it should have been.
Not appropriate during public comment, so I'm going to ask you to save that for 2 o'clock.
Well, then I'm going to talk about how that in the process of validating and verifying signatures on a petition, and those petitions need to be presented to a board at their next regular meeting, our election official chose to not certify the petition for recall in Los Osos until one day after their next regular meeting, when it was perfectly clear by the record that she could have verified, she did verify and validate those petitions well in advance of the regular meeting of the Los Osos CSD, but held those certifications back until the day after that regular meeting, allowing the incumbents 30 days. And we all know what happened within those 30 days. It gave the incumbents 30 days to destroy Tri-W, to spend SRF monies in the millions of dollars, and we are now in a situation to where the CSD is in bankruptcy protection because of the action of the former CSD, which our election official allowed to happen. How do I know these things? Because I investigated. I investigated the public record. I asked questions. I know perfectly well what the codes are. The certification of those petitions could have gone forward, and we could have had a 30 days head start on the destruction of Los Osos, and of course the millions of dollars were being spent. Now, I have these details. I sent them to election official. I sent them to the governor. I sent them to the Secretary of State of California. Why didn't I send them to the grand jury? Well, they're going to be getting my stuff now. So be aware. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. One of the best parts of this job is when you get to recognize people you've known for a lot of years and you consider friends. It is not only a privilege but an honor for me to congratulate Ernie Righetti and actually the entire Righetti family today. And what I'd like to do is to have them all stand up here by the podium because these are local agricultural heroes. So if you'd stand, Mr. Getty, Mr. Getty, while I read this and family here. The following resolution is hereby read. Whereas Ernie Righetti has provided 75 years of service to the San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau and was recognized for his dedication recently by being named the recipient of the California Farm Bureau Federation Distinguished Service Award. Whereas the Distinguished Service Award is the highest honor bestowed by the California Farm Bureau Federation, excuse me, and has been presented annually since 1953.
Members of the board.
Just one second. Sorry, I've got a sore throat today, Ernie. The California Farm Bureau Federation is the state's largest farm organization and works to protect family farms and ranches on behalf of nearly 92,000 members. And whereas the Righetti family farm specializes in growing Haas avocados that makes markets throughout the world, Ernie served several terms as member of the California Avocado Commission and worked with organizations to develop and promote avocado production and consumption. And whereas Ernie is an outstanding civic leader, he shares his knowledge of farming and devotes his energy and skills to help the community. He has traveled the world but still lives in the house where he was born, San Luis Obispo. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby congratulate Ernie Righetti for receiving the California Farm Bureau Federation Distinguished Service Award and commend him for his dedication to this community.
He'll bring it. He'll take it down. Oh, he can make it. He can make it. Good.
And we have the rest of the family join us here for a picture.
I'm sorry. I thought he...
Thank you. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Ernie. Thanks for your work. Thank you. Get him in the middle.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Thank you. Morning.
I think if we get a little closer here, this...
I'll get you at the farmer's
market.
Come on over.
Say a word.
Say a few words.
Yeah.
And while Mr. Righetti is working his way back to the podium, in the back of the room here is Ag Alert, and they're on the cover photo here, and I just asked Mr. Righetti to get me an autographed copy. I don't know if he has time to autograph them for everybody here. However, if you want to get a copy of it, it's on the floor in the back, and they're on the front page here, and congratulations again, Mr. Righetti.
Members of the board, thank you very much. I'm overwhelmed by this.
You do have to state your name for the record, sir. I'm sorry. I've got to go by the rules.
But I feel that if one can do
state your name.
Some service for his community and his country, no matter how menial it may be, that's everyone's duty. To be a good student, a good farmer, to me, is probably the most outstanding thing that a rural person can do. To be a good custodian of the land. The family of this farmer is the most important thing that he has. Without the support of a family, which I certainly do have, I don't think that I would really be in a position to even serve as I do today. I've been under the impression that if you hang around long enough, something good might come your way. And at this point, I feel that it has. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Supervisor Patterson has a comment for you, Mr. Rigetti.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had the pleasure of going on the Farm Bureau Women's Farm Tour last year, and one would think maybe that after a long life of being in agriculture, one might get tired of it and actually already know their way around the neighborhood. But last year's tour focused on the South County, and who was on that tour but Ernie Rigetti, participating like the rest of us and going from farm to farm. And that's where I first met him, and it was a pleasure talking with him on that, and it just shows his dedication to the land and dedication to the enterprise of farming. And it's been a pleasure. Congratulations, Ernie.
Thank you. Supervisor Asajjan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My relationship goes a little further away when there was an issue with a neighboring property that needed to be split, and you taught me as the reasons is why we shouldn't, and we did not do that. And I just want to thank you publicly for being such a good steward to you, your sons, your entire family of our farmland. Thank you.
Mr. Rigetti, I just want to add that not only are you a great role model, but thank you for all the things you've done for our community, because I think the thing that we didn't stress today is your public and community service. And for the last 37 years, I don't think I've been at any event or involved in anything that you haven't been involved with. And to me, that's an honor, and it's raising the bar, and it's something I hope to live up to. So thank you again. We will now move into public comment. I have six requests to speak. We will start with Mr. Dane Sensor, followed by Ignacio Rincon.
Dane Sensor. I'm basically a victim's right advocate, but I'm here today on a different issue, which basically is sort of a victim. People like myself who work two jobs to pay the taxes in this county. My concern is the article that I read in today's paper on EcoSlow, the Environmental Center of San Luis County, joining forces now with the Citizens for Planning Responsibility. To ask the court to determine if the legality of the Measure J is legit or not. Well, the question I have is, should we be asking the 63% of the voters who voted for this measure after 14 years of tireless debates, overviews, taxpayers' monies, counties, workers, San Luis County of Obispo looking at the planning department, et cetera, extraordinary amount of money being spent. Should we maybe ask the question of the legitimacy to legitimize this group and who they are? Where'd they get their $40,000 to pay some San Francisco firm? And maybe the San Francisco firm's doing this on contingency, so they're so concerned for the environment. Is that the real question, the environment? I don't think so. Not after 14 years of taxpayers' money like myself. Everybody in this county should be concerned about what these people are doing. And let me give the example of what I'm talking about. Prado Overpass originally started at $3 million. It's now $38 million in county. Who should we blame that on? The Delidio project? I don't think so. I think that project wants to help pay for that. But guess who's going to pay for it ultimately? Us taxpayers. That's who's going to pay for us ultimately. So I think this group, what they're doing today, is nothing less than taking the hardworking citizens like myself, this board and county's workers, taking that money and putting it where it shouldn't be, on frivolous legal harassment lawsuits like this. This is a shame. This is a shame for the county. It's a shame for the people who work in this county that they have to go through 14 years of this and now start up again. You know, I'm a little surprised they have never said a word to the Madonna construction company, to the Madonna developer, to the Rossi developer, to the Gephardt, which is the same dirt and soil of the Delidio Ranch, the same land adjacent. They've never said one word to these people. What's going on here? 63% of the voters, a city of San Luis Council, the people have spoken. How much is enough? Are they smarter than all of us?
Mr. Sensor, your time's up.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ignacio Rincon, followed by Trudy Jarrett.
Good morning. My name is Ignacio Rincon. I'm with Global Premier Development. I just came to kind of give you guys, keep you guys aware. We have a project, affordable housing project in Templeton, and we're kind of having some difficulties in getting water service to our project. We don't have sufficient water rights to service our project, and we kind of just want the members of the board to give us some assistance or maybe some suggestions how to go about receiving more water. We've done some research and found out that the Templeton CSD has water on reserve, and since we are an affordable housing project, we feel that we should be on top of that list, and maybe you guys could assist us in getting some of that water. We currently have some projects in the Pomo right now. I know there's one agenda, B9, the Center Village, that's our project also, and we're just trying to get some, like I said, some ideas, suggestions from the board and moving this project forward. It's currently in planning right now, so we're just, you know, trying to get some ideas how to go about getting that water that's on reserve.
Thank you for your comments. Trudy Jarrett, followed by David Dugan.
Thank you, Chairman Lenthal, supervisors. My name is Trudy Jarrett. I'm president of the League of Women Voters of San Luis Obispo County. And I'm here this morning to speak to you and to the community about Women's History Month and Women's History Week. March is Women's History Month, and this week is Women's History Week. As many of you may know, the League of Women Voters last month celebrated 87 years. Yes, 87 years, that's right, as an organization. We started out as a women's organization, but today, of course, we welcome men into our ranks, and we would be honored to have somebody like Mr. Righetti, who has done so much for this community, to join League. So I extend that to him. But let me talk for a few minutes about Women's History Month. I would like to ask the board and people in this community to take this week to reflect on what women in this community, in this state, and in this nation have done for their communities and, again, for everything that we stand for as a nation. And I want to share with you some of the things that have happened during the month of March, which I think you find kind of interesting. In March 1888, the National Council of Women of the United States was organized by Susan B. Anthony, Clara Barton, Lucy Stone, Julia Ward Howe, and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. In 1910, in March, the Campfire Girls was established. In March 12th of 1912, the first ever Girl Scout meeting occurred. In March of 1973, women began to be pilots for the Navy. And in March of 1978, Women's History Month and Women's History Week was established by the Congress of the United States through the joint efforts of Senator Orrin Hatch and Congresswoman Barbara Mikulski. I would like to invite the board and members of the public to join the League on April 5th when we will have local historian Dick Miller speak at a luncheon at Dorn's Restaurant. He will talk about the history of women on the Central Coast and specifically about the suffrage movement. And for those that might be a little too young to remember what that means, that's when the women fought for the right to vote. It was a 70-year fight, and finally in 1920, women did receive the right to vote. So I thank you for this opportunity to say a few words about Women's History Week, and I want to leave you with another quote that actually happened in March. This was in March of 1776, and it was said by Abigail Adams, who of course is the wife of President John Adams. And when he was preparing to write a speech, she said to him, "John, please remember the ladies." Thank you.
Good advice. Thank you for your comments. David Dugan, followed by Jesse Hill. And Davis, I want to remind you that this is not the appropriate time to talk about Los Osos.
May I ask your legal counsel what grounds that they have legally to not allow me to speak on issues of Los Osos that are not in the staff report for today's item on the agenda?
I'm not sure we're going to get into a debate of legal or otherwise. If you'd like to see me later or if you have a complaint, question, or comment.
Well, there's nothing in the staff report whatsoever about CDOs or ACLs. That's what I'm going to be speaking towards. If it's anything Los Osos, anything, crosswalks, the people of Los Osos, Are you telling me that
We're
I can't...
We're not talking about crosswalks, Mr. Dugan. The last three times here, you've crossed the line, and I've asked you not to do that again.
I have not crossed the line. I've spoken to anything other than what was on the staff report.
I know that you think
that you can limit my freedom of speech
excuse
in this
me, sir,
area, but...
Excuse me, sir. I'm going to respond to your statement and question. I will allow you to speak. If you talk about anything to do with the Los Osos or CDOs, I'm going to say that you need to bring that...
It's not in the staff report. It's not considered.
Mr. Dugan, I'm not going to debate with you. Either continue with your public comment and not mention those, or please come back...
Well, I'm going to continue with my comment, whether you gavel me down or not. I'm going to read statements made by Roger Briggs in his closing remarks at the LOCSD ACL hearings. These statements will be found on Part 2.
Mr. Dugan, what I'm going to do is I'm going to adjourn the meeting for 10 minutes, and you and I are going to have a conversation. This meeting is adjourned until 9:38. Okay, if I can get everyone to take their seats, please, we'd like to continue. We'll continue with public comment. My next speaker is Jesse Hill, followed by Michael Wynn.
You said I can have a 3 minutes.
About
as long as I didn't speak about myself.
Correct.
Mr. Dugan, you had your chance. I told you there's no more contact today for your public comment. No, I said you'd be through because you've abused the 3 minutes that you've had on three prior occasions as well as today. And we're not going to debate this. You can come back at 2 o'clock and talk about anything you want to do with the CDOs and Los Osos Sewer, but you're done for the day of public comment.
I'm not going to speak about the Los Osos Sewer, my general public comment.
Mr. Wynn.
I had my 3 minutes.
Mr. Dugan, your 3 minutes in public comment are done this morning.
You said a lady over here talking about how the right to the vote, the legal vote,
or women in jail because they want to exercise their freedom of speech.
Mr. Hill, followed by Michael Wynn.
Thank you, Jesse Hill. Well, I guess you've got to turn the mic back on. Sorry to hear that. Obviously, LOCSD is always going to be contentious. What I want to chat with you about today is I want to keep going on the subject that I was here on last time and was talking about Papadopoulos. And the larger picture still is that the NCSD is requesting a certification for level 3 from this board. We're trying to hopefully end the litigation. It seems to me that if that happens, then what's going to continue on is that since the farmers were prescripted against, they are going to come back and we're going to have more litigation. As we talked about last time, Papadopoulos has significant problems. You can't have a freshwater interface 12,000 feet out into the ocean and then have a condition in which the basin is alleged to be overdrafted, and because that would move your freshwater interface to the beach. There's other problems that we talked about, but let me move on to the handout that I provided you today. And when you look at that handout, what it sets out is that there are basically 84,000 acre feet of groundwater in storage above mean sea level in the Pomo Mesa management area. This would meet the projected water demands at 2003 levels for 5 years without replenishment. There's never been a zero recharge of rainfall for any period for the entire period of record. This was from the NCSD's experts at the water litigation trial under penalty of perjury, and this was an exhibit from the man who really put a lot of time into studying the basin, which was Mr. Papadopoulos from SAIC. The next page of that exhibit, if you'll look at that, is the SAIC memo that discusses the Napomo Mesa management area. And basically what it says in there is that the volume of groundwater in storage above sea level in April of 2006 is 121,000 acre feet. Now, if you take that 121,000 acre-feet of water and you move that back into SAIC's exhibit that they put into trial under penalty of perjury, and it is then becomes a fact that there's 121,000 acre-feet of water, it becomes very difficult when you do the math based upon this exhibit to come to the conclusion that there's not at least 8 years of water in the groundwater basin above mean sea level, according to the NCSD's trial experts under penalty of perjury. So I'm hoping you don't certify it out. It's going to be more litigation. And I'm an attorney. I can make money on it. So obviously against my own interests. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Mr. Wynn, is my last request to speak.
Mr. Chair, my request to speak has to do with the consent agenda and not public comment.
Thank you.
Jim.
That was my last request to speak. I'll close public comment. We'll move into our presentation calendar. And Mr. Greek, I believe we have some outstanding long-term employees that we're going to honor this morning.
Do we need to vote on them?
No, we didn't.
That's true.
Your microphone's on, sir.
I hit the request button. Pardon me. That's true, Chairman Linthal, and it's a pleasure for me, Richard Greek, and staff, Heather Gunderloch, to assist you with recognizing some employees who have 30 years of service with the county this morning. Before I turn it over to you, Supervisor Linthal, let me briefly lay out the logistics, and we'll see how well we do with this. I would ask that as the employee's name is read, that you proceed to the microphone on the right. The department representative then is welcome to come to say a few words after the board presentation to the microphone on the left. And then photographs and shaking of the hands, and we'll move forward. So with that, it's all yours.
first employee we want to recognize is Corey Powell from the assessor's office. Corey gets this beautiful, which I looked at. But Corey, my still question is have you tried it on yet? You sure it's going to fit?
I have not. I was not aware.
Corey?
Yes.
We're going to let you go first since you're up at the podium. And if you want to say a few things, that'll be fine. Then we're going to come up and do our photos. So please feel free to say a few words right now because we're all going to honor and comment after you say things. We'll do a little different.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I thought it would be after my introduction. Well, in the 1970s, the county didn't have a very good background check, and I was not as they do now. And Mr. Greeks improved that situation. There was a new assessor, and I came in 1976. And if you remember, that was the big bicentennial year, nation's bicentennial, a lot of fireworks and things like that. But there was a new assessor, and he had just gotten an increase in his budget for some new staff. And I was one of the first new employees to come in to the assessor's office. And actually, he stole the list, I think, from the planning department because I had originally applied for the planning department. So he took the eligibility list. But interestingly, looking back, there were about 45 or 50 employees in the assessor's office, and I think there's 87 or so now, I think. There were about, seemed like 9 or 10 appraisers, and we have, I think, near just under 30 appraisers now. Interestingly, I remember some of the, there were still a couple of few old-timers that were still on staff that had actually started in the 1940s. It was just amazing, that old stories, and but now they're probably be, you know, they were considered, I thought those people were old guys, and now I'm sure some of the new people think that I'm one of the old guys, an old guy that they worked with that started in the 70s. Anyway, the county government center has certainly changed in that time, and you know, there's the old county garage used to be across the street there. Some people may remember it, the county parking lot. And I think right where we're meeting right now used to be the old Chevy dealer's showroom for those beautiful new 1977 Chevys. Anyway, just closing for my comments, and speaking as the dinosaur of the office, the assessor's office, and having been involved in about 30 assessment rolls, adding property tax to the assessment rolls, I'm here to say that the assessor's office staff, former employees and current staff, have always strived to do a good job, and particularly good at public service to the taxpayers and property owners.
And I apologize for having you go first. We got a little bit disrupted this morning. Our paperwork's not quite in order. Okay. So with that, Aaron, did you want to say a few things before I add on, or do you want me to read about
it? Apparently we're winging it. I don't care.
Any landing's a good landing. Well, I've got a little bio about Corey, and while I was handing or was waiting for this to be handed to me, I look out, and this is the eternal youth of Dick Clark. When you look at him, I think of American Bandstand right here.
All right. Thank you.
Corey Powell is a San Luis Obispo native. He was born December 1st, 1945, at Mountain View Hospital, which is just under construction right now, and it's now, I think, a new office building across from the high school at the intersection of Marsh and California. With the exception of a sit in the military, which time he served in Fort Bliss in the beautiful metropolis of El Paso, Texas, Corey has lived and worked in San Luis Obispo County. Corey grew up in Morro Bay, where he met and married his wife of 40 years, Diana. Together, they have three children, Susan, Sherry, and Brian. Susan and Sherry have both given him adorable grandchildren. While Susan has moved east, both Sherry and Brian remain in San Luis Obispo County. Corey holds a bachelor's degree in physical geography and was originally hired as a, what kind of draftsman?
Cadastral draftsman.
Cadastral.
Yes.
Can you explain what that means?
That's.
I don't want to use that word if I don't know what it means.
Property ownership maps. It's an assessor's term, a mapping term.
Thank you. There you are. I learned something today. You'll probably see that question asked on Jeopardy next week. Within a short time, he moved to the mapping and appraisal section of the office as appraiser. Through increased education and experience, Corey promoted through the appraisal ranks, working with many different property types, and has now been supervising members of the appraisal staff for more than 20 years. Corey has become a local expert in a number of different property types, most notably the wide expanse in California Valley, the beautiful vistas of our local landfills, and the varied terrain of our local golf courses. I'm not certain to the extent of his landfill background, but I do know that he plays an exceptional game of golf. Is that true?
I'm working on it.
Spent 30 years of service in the assessor's office, and it says here he's still as youthful as a parent, and he does have the nickname in the office of Dick Clark. Corey has been both a rock and an inspiration to those who work with him each day. He acts with the highest ethical standards in everything he does. He always aims to provide the highest quality of work and seeks to find the best in each of us who work with him. The Assessor's Office thanks Corey Powell for 30 years of exceptional service. And, Corey, I also thank you for a friendship. I see you in the elevator. You've been a friend. I used to wave to you as a policeman, and you always wave back. And with that, I have a watch to give you. Let's get a picture of you here while she's at it.
Backward, as much as you can.
It's your turn to wing it.
I think I'll go first this time.
Okay, well, we all know that I'm not the assessor. I'm Sharon Sparks, and I'm honored to be here on his behalf. He is in Las Vegas, so that's a sad place to be. But I am really honored to be here to present this to Corey. On behalf of the assessor and all of his staff, we'd like to congratulate you and thank you for all your 30 years of service in our office, not just in the county, but 30 years for us. And it's been a real honor and a pleasure to work with you. You're a dedicated public servant. You're dedicated to the staff. When I started there 20 years ago, Corey sat behind me and got to look at my backside seated all day long. Excuse me. but it has been a real pleasure, and we do really appreciate you, Corey, and we're happy, and we're many of us are here to celebrate your 30 years of service. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You've been a great audience. Supervisor Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow up with a couple of comments. Corey lives in Atascadero, and as a dedicated public servant, he rides the bus, and I appreciate the fact that he does that. He's also the expert, quote-unquote, on California Valley, and when I was elected supervisor for the 5th District, which now contains California Valley, I was advised not to go there without the sheriff. And I didn't follow that advice, and I've been out there several times. The community is growing, and it's not without its growing pains, but Corey was generous enough to give me some insights on the community. In fact, he has a file on California Valley that goes back to the 70s, and I have gone through that religiously, and there's some interesting things that have occurred out there, and it's nice to have that history. But anyway, Corey, I want to thank you for your years of service here at the county and for the fine work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person we're going to honor is Carolyn Mueller. Carolyn, would you please step forward? Karen Mueller's Southern Charm has graced the Los Osos Library for the past 30 years. She began as an intermediate typist clerk in August of 1976, in the days before computers, at a salary of $3.01 per hour. The part-time position became a full-time position in March of 85 when Carolyn became the supervising branch library assistant, and within months, she moved to the branch manager position. It is a very special occurrence when an individual spends her entire professional career in the same location, and even more special when that person lives with the community as well. Over the years, Carolyn has been a contributing member of the Los Osos community, promoting the library through active participation in Rotary, the Chamber of Commerce, and other local groups. She just doesn't attend meetings. She takes an active part and is a frequent committee chair. She has served as Rotary president on more than one occasion, as well as on the board of directors for the Chamber of Commerce. She is often asked to judge educational events such as the Academic Decathlon and is a frequent presenter for local groups. In all of her capacities, she has always promoted the many beliefs and benefits that the library provides to our community. Carolyn actively worked with her Friends of the Library group for Measure L, and through that campaign and other outreach, ensured that the community was aware of the library needs, both financial and volunteer involvement. Her passion for the library is infectious, and her supporters are all dedicated to her. What you might not know about Carolyn is that she graduated with a degree in microbiology from Cal Poly. This expertise and knowledge has been a benefit to the science-related collections in all aspects of the library. Her recent years as a member of the committee that selects children's materials has also benefited her firsthand knowledge of what kids and their parents want to read and enjoy. Her science background and interests led to an amazing partnership between Friends of the Library, the National Estuary Program, and Carolyn to produce a one-of-a-kind interactive CD-ROM on the Morro Bay Estuary. This award-winning CD is now an integral part of our library resources and been sold to library schools and individuals all over the county. If snails and sewers hadn't interfered with the plans to build a new library, Carolyn would be a savvy consultant for both the design and the layout right now. Nonetheless, she does not remain idle while waiting for such controversies to be resolved. She continues to make changes in how the library merchandises its collections and while always maintaining the customer focus. Carolyn, congratulations on 30 years of dedication to this community, to the library, and to this county.
Thank you. Up center. Brian, do you want to come next to her? She'll make you look good.
That's what they're hired to do.
Yes, please. Mr. Reynolds, would you like to go next? Or do you want to give her comments first?
I think the lady should always have the last word.
So you're going first.
Very briefly, I'm Brian Reynolds, Library Director, and my own self, I've been here almost 14 years. And when I first came, I very quickly noticed and appreciated the very high level of branch management we have throughout the county. We're blessed with that. But Carolyn really stands out above for some of the reasons that, Mr. Chairman, you read. Familiarity with the community, energy, passion for good service, and also through many controversies out. She's always maintained a calm hand on her leadership, and is an inspiration to her staff and the rest of us. So I'm very happy and honored to have worked with Carolyn these years, and wish her the very best.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, we have many colleagues and friends of the library here as well. Maybe they could stand.
Let's have all the friends of the library stand up, and we'll also congratulate them.
Thank you, and thank you for all your
wonderful. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Troy Carolyn Mueller, Los Osos. It's interesting to me that we talked about a farmer and honored him today because I started out on a farm. My first 20 years I worked on farm work and women's rights. I'm a woman, and I appreciate those. It has been a wonderful, creative, exciting, stimulating environment for me in the library for the last 30 years, and it's been an incredible honor to serve the wonderful community of Los Osos and the wonderful people there. I've enjoyed working with the Friends of the Library. We've raised almost $1 million for our new library, and we're ready whenever you are for that new library. And creating the Estuary Center and producing the interactive CD-ROM was a really wonderful joy. And what a wonderful way for students to discover, a very true discovery. The library is important and relevant in your communities, and I urge you, the members of the board and the public, to get connected to your branch in your community and be vigilant in making sure that your branches thrive. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you sit down, Supervisor Sajjan?
Yeah, Ms. Mueller, I want to personally thank you because of people like you. Still good things happening in Los Osos, believe it or not. But every time I see a librarian, I'm always reminded of something being said before, that you read to lead and you earn to learn. And thanks for your efforts. Our kids are in better hands.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes our presentations. We'll move along to the consent agenda. I'll open it for public comment. I've received two requests to speak, Eric Greening and Michael Wynn.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Eric Greening on B8 and B16. B8 is an agreement with Padre Associates for environmental monitoring of the Diablo Canyon steam generator replacement. in the mitigation monitoring contract itself, which is in the clerk's file, it says that occasionally the scope of work may need to be fine-tuned or replaced. The reference is to possible newly discovered environmental conditions, and it says, quote, "This contract contemplates limited delegation of Board of Supervisors authority to review minor technical alterations to the environmental monitoring and reporting tasks. Such delegations of authority do not limit the Board of Supervisors' rights to make decisions regarding any monitoring issue," unquote. First question, how will you and the public be kept informed of these instances where your authority is being delegated? Second question, if the newly discovered environmental conditions involve native cultural resources, what sort of tribal consultation and involvement will occur? This whole area is extremely sensitive. Where the name Diablo appears on a California map, you can be sure the indigenous people sought to keep the Spanish away from their most sacred places by trying to scare them by inventing tales of evil spirits. It usually worked then, but doesn't now. In the scope of work, which is also in the clerk's file, it states that a status report will be prepared from each visit the monitors make at intervals from 3 times a week to semi-monthly. Will these reports be available to your board and the public, and if so, where and how? B16 includes appointments to the Water Resources Advisory Committee. I understand current information is different from what you see before you. Will this action be suspended to incorporate, or will this action be superseded to incorporate any further changes? My other question is whether the environmental at-large positions are interchangeable. In other words, is each alternate assigned to a specific principal, or can either alternate serve in the absence of either principal? Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you for your comments. Michael Wynn, followed by David Dugan.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and supervisors. My name is Mike Wynn, and I'm speaking today on behalf of the Water Resources Advisory Committee on item B16. We have sent you a proposed list of appointments, which the RAC voted on in its last meeting and approved, and the bylaws, which were given to you before and are coming back again with no changes. I'm only speaking to this not because I think it's particularly controversial today, but there may have been a little confusion about the possible addition of one more seat for development interests. And I can report to you that the staff is going to craft some potential language for that, but the RAC has taken no position as to whether it will or should not be given to you. And only if it were approved by us and approved by you would we then put out notice that we were open for applications. So there will be no personal name attached to that position if it is formed. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Patterson, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wynn, you're the chair of the RAC, is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you speak to Mr. Greening's questions regarding the interchanging of the alternates? Do you know how the bylaws read regarding that, or what the practice is at the RAC?
The practice in the past, which, and I don't know whether it has legal standing or it's just the way we've always done it, is that each alternate was an alternate for a specific person.
I see.
So we've never sort of lined them up as a third seat and fourth seat in case any one of them was gone. That's what we have done in the past, but we've always maintained a quorum so that it never was critical as to whether or not that was actually legal or not. If county staff would care to look at that and give us an opinion, we of course would be very pleased to receive that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
My last request to speak on the consent agenda is David Dugan.
David Dugan, Sosos. I was looking at the staff report and concerning bylaws and public comment in the RAC. I'm glad that subject just came up about the new position that you're looking at for development or developers specifically. The RAC committee, advisory committee, when I last went to it, I didn't go to the last one, but I went when they were considering the resource capacity study
for Los Osos. And at that meeting, they finally got to that agenda item, and then they let public comment be taken, and they allowed a developer to talk for at least 5 minutes, and then stopped the rest of public comment for any person in the room on that item. And that was it. Of course, I raised the stink about that because there was others there that did not get a chance to speak on the Los Osos Water Resource Capacity Study, which they were looking at the time. And, of course, they allowed us to speak to it once I raised the stink over the fact that they were not allowing us to speak publicly on this. But they allowed a developer to speak for 5 minutes and limited my time to speak. Now, I was on, at the time, the Los Osos Water Ops Committee, Advisory Committee. I was an alternate, and I was there to speak specifically towards that item. And yet they limited my freedom of speech and allowed another person greater time and greater access, who happened to be a developer. And now I hear they're going to be maybe putting a new seat in to allow for developers. I think they're giving developers preferences. I'm pro-growth. I've said that many times here. Smart growth, of course. But are we going to... I think the bylaw should be changed that equal time for public comment should be taken. It just says that they can start or stop public comment on an item. I think the bylaw should be changed to say that equal time should be given to each person that are there to talk about on those items. It doesn't say that. So they're going to allow somebody 5 minutes to speak and somebody else 1 minute to speak on an item, limiting the right of freedom of speech. We know what that issue is all about. How many people have died so we could have that right of freedom of speech to address our government and redress our problems we have? How many people have tried to defend this country just for that right of freedom of speech? And here I'm looking at bylaws that seem to favor one side over another. And limit freedom of speech. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. That's my last request to speak. Bring it back to the board. Any Supervisor Patterson, do you want to pull someone? Go ahead. You can. Which one do you want to talk about?
Well, item B8, so staff could answer Mr. Greeney's question.
Okay. Supervisor Sajjan, any
other at this time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Patterson, let's start with B8.
I know we have staff here to answer Mr. Greening's questions regarding B8 and the
right.
Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant steam generator monitoring.
Right. Ellen Carroll, Environmental Coordinator. The first question was, how will the public know if there's minor changes that occur out there, and how will the public know the status of the project? We will get weekly monitoring reports from the consultant, and those are available to the public. They can contact our office, and we can make those available. They may be more often than weekly, but we will keep a file, and we'll make that available to the public. The second question that was asked was regarding cultural resources. And we are aware, and the monitors are aware, that that's a very important site out there. And if issues arise, we have an archaeologist that's available, and that archaeologist will be the lead with our office on dealing with any of those issues. So that completes my comments,
okay.
Unless there's other questions.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you.
With that, Mr. Chair, I move approval of the consent agenda items.
And I'll second.
Okay. Roll
with
call,
the,
Madam.
That was with the one change to B7.
The changes, Madam Clerk.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Sajjan.
Aye.
Mr. Patterson.
Aye.
Mr. Linthal.
Aye. Madam Clerk, if you'd introduce the next item.
Next item is item C1. This is a hearing to consider the issuance of tax-exempt bonds by the California Statewide Communities Development Authority in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $985 million for Catholic Healthcare West.
And is this the appropriate time I read this statement?
Actually, I have a brief introduction if you'd like, and then... read the script from that, if that works.
I have that
intro, and
make sure I dot the I's and cross the T's legally.
Okay.
Make sure I take it away.
All right, good morning. I'm Dan Buckshy from the County Administrative Office.
Thank you.
The following two hearings this morning are required per the Federal Tax and Equity Fiscal Responsibility Act of 1982, which is commonly referred to as TEFRA. This type of hearing is required anytime a private organization wishes to utilize tax-exempt bonds for financing purposes. The county's role in this hearing is twofold. The first is obviously to hold the public hearing, and second, to approve the financing via a resolution. It is important to note that the county does not incur any financial liability or responsibility with the approval of this resolution before you today. The California Statewide Communities Development Authority is the entity that issues these bonds. Additionally, each county in which the proceeds from which the bonds will be utilized is required to hold a hearing similar to this one. The first hearing before you today is for the issuance of $985 million of tax-exempt bonds for use by Catholic Healthcare West, which owns Arroyo Grande Community Hospital and French Hospital, as well as many other facilities throughout the state and other states within the country. If you have any other questions, Terrence Murphy from the California Communities Development Authority is here, as are individuals from Catholic Healthcare West. That's it for me.
Thank you. If there are no additional comments, I'll read the official notice here. This is a public hearing to consider the issuance of tax-exempt bonds for the purpose of financing the acquisition, construction, improvement, and equipping of medical facilities known as Arroyo Grande Community Hospital, French Hospital Medical Center, both of which are located in the county of San Luis Obispo. The public hearing regarding the financing is required by federal law. The public hearing is now open. We will now hear from any person who wishes to speak about the proposed financing. At this time, does anyone wish to speak? I have received no request to speak, so I'll open to the public, and if no one stands up, I will close it to the public, and we will...
With that, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the issuance of tax-exempt bonds by the California Statewide Communities Development Authority in aggregated principal amount not to exceed $985 million for Catholic Health West.
I'll second that motion.
Madam Clerk, a roll call, please.
Mr. Shaughnessy.
Aye.
Mr. Patterson.
Aye.
Aye. Madam Clerk, if you introduce the next item.
Next item is item C2. This is a hearing to consider the issuance of tax-exempt bonds by the California Statewide Communities Development Authority in an aggregate principal not to exceed $7 million in order to assist in the refinancing of six facilities for Options Family of Care Services.
Mr. Buckshire, we have you again.
This is the exact same process for the different organization of Options Family Care of Services, as noted by the clerk, and the amount is not to exceed $7 million. Other than that, the exact same process and guidelines. No additional detail beyond that.
Thank you. Again, I'm required by federal law to read this. This is a public hearing to consider the issuance of tax-exempt bonds for the purpose of assisting in the refinancing of six facilities for the Options Family of Services organization. The public hearing regarding this financing is required by federal law. The public hearing is now open. We will now hear from any person who wishes to speak about the proposed financing. Does anyone wish to come forward and speak about this? I have received no request to speak. Seeing no one step forward, I will open and close it to the public and entertain a motion.
What was staff's recommendation?
I'll second.
Madam Clerk, a roll call, please.
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye. Madam Clerk, if you would introduce the next item.
Next item is item C3. This is a hearing to consider certification of the final master environmental impact report and selection of the final alternative for the Halcyon Road project south of the city of Arroyo Grande, 4th District.
And who's starting off with from staff here? Right?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Dave Flynn with the Public Works Department. Today's item is consideration of certification of the master EIR for Halcyon Road and a selection of alternative. With me today is John Farhar, our environmental planner for the project, Dale Ramey, the project manager, as well as Mary Rentz of the Morrow Group, who prepared the environmental impact report. Halcyon Road has certainly been a long process to get to this point. The department has been working on this project for approximately 7 years in various forms, in both working with Caltrans on project study reports, looking at alternatives and preparing project study reports. today's action by your board will be certifying the EIR and then taking action on what the project would constitute. An important element of what would be done today is it will require three votes by your board to adopt any of the actions. So in both certifying the EIR and in selecting alternatives, that will require three votes. For some of the funding issues relevant to this project, there is about $2 million in STIP funding available, and the board will need to act within this month in order to secure that funding. There could be consideration of potential continuance of this item after discussion to a March 20th agenda, if your board so selects. But again, we'll be doing our presentation, taking all public comment today, and looking for direction from your board. Halcyon Road, Dale, would you like to go over the background on Halcyon Road?
Yes, I would. Dale Ramey, County Public Works. As we're ready for the screen. This hearing is to certify.
Mr. Ramey, I don't believe your microphone's on. Could you double check or lean a little closer to it?
It's on. I'm just not close enough.
No, it's not on.
It was on. Okay, how's that?
That's better.
Thank you. The meeting today is for certification of the master EIR and to select one of the alternatives for the Halcyon Road State Route 1 intersection. As you can see from this map of 1874, Halcyon Road has been integral in the transportation network in South County. In summary today, your board is here to act on the following: to certify the master EIR, adopt findings and statements of overriding considerations for the preferred alternative, approve Phase 1A for immediate construction, approve Alternate 17 for Phase 1 construction in the next 3 to 5 years, and Phase 2 in 10 to 15 years. This is a graphic that shows the relationship of the three phases. We've got some fonts on here that didn't transfer, and they look a little bizarre, but we'll work around them. Phase 1 is the intersection realignment. Phase 1A is the widening and overlay project on the valley floor. And Phase 2 is the climbing lane project. Today's actions will require three votes to approve. Again, after hearing the staff report and public comment, your board may take action or continue hearing until March 20th when the full board is present. I'd like you to keep in mind that this is a mitigation project for development that has occurred on the Mesa and for development that will occur through build-out of the general plan for South County. By not selecting a Phase 1 project will cause a loss of $2 million in STIP funding, initiate repayment of $350,000 in STIP funding that has been spent, and cause legal concerns regarding mitigations for approved development on the Napomo Mesa.
Next slide, please, Dale. We want to reiterate that this is a mitigation project, particularly development such as Cypress Ridge going in on North Napomo Mesa. Halcyon Road becomes the major link into the five cities and access points. It also serves as interregional traffic into points to the south. Next slide. As part of this project, we are also looking at doing a Phase 1A project to utilize the $2 million in STIP funds, which will provide shoulders for the ag land areas. This is a safety improvement, both for bicycle traffic as well as for providing a buffer and safety zone for traffic traveling on the road. Let's look at how much traffic we have in that area. This exhibit shows the current traffic levels that we see, particularly coming off the Mesa and using Route 1 through Oceano. Halcyon Road going towards Arroyo Grande certainly receives a significant amount of traffic. This traffic would be expected to grow at least by 25% through build-out of the Napomo area. So where is this traffic coming from and going to? In this exhibit, we're documenting, although it's very difficult to indicate where the traffic is coming from. We're showing that if we look on the box, the traffic volumes on Halcyon Road, about 40% of it is destined to the Highway 101 corridor, 60% is destined to points within the five city areas for services, schools, that sort of thing. In looking at the traffic utilizing Halcyon Road, we see approximately 90% of the traffic actually accessing to the Mesa on Halcyon Road, and only 10% of the traffic continuing on using the Route 1 corridor. Again, with the project overview, we have three phases of development for this project, the first being the issue of the offset intersection at the Arroyo Grande Channel, with our recommendation of aligning up those intersections for the most efficient solution. Phase 1A being the shoulder widenings along the ag lands. And then finally, Phase 2, which is the climbing lane going up to the Mesa at the south end of Halcyon Road. Again, this exhibit shows the three different segments of this project, which would be carried out at three different time frames, Phase 1A being the immediate project, Phase 1 being a near-term project in 3 to 5 years, and then Phase 2, again, out 10 to 15 years. This exhibit shows more defined limits of those phases of the project. This exhibit shows the realignment that's being proposed for the Arroyo Grande Channel intersection, where the existing alignment north and south of the channel would be abandoned and a new intersection would be constructed on the west side of the channel and a traffic signal to effectively coordinate the traffic at that location. This exhibit indicates the limits of the Halcyon Road climbing lane that would start roughly at the base of the existing grade and go up to the southerly intersection of Halcyon Road and Highway 1. I'll turn it over to John to go over the EIR process.
Thank you, Dave. Chairman Lenthal, members of the board, John Farhar, Environmental Programs Division of the Public Works Department. You may be wondering why we've presented and prepared a master environmental impact report. As you've seen, there are three phases to the project. Technically, they could be considered separate projects, separately programmed, and separately financed. So there's certainly a you can go to the next slide. The initial steps the county took on these projects was to review the proposed realignment project. Initially, we had initiated work on a proposed mitigated negative declaration. This is a standard approach to transportation projects where we have multiple projects within a region that may be programmed. The timing and financing is such that we often consider those independently. However, we have, you know, a circulation plan, and these things are integrated and considered together with the circulation planning process. In this particular case, after reviewing the draft mitigated negative declaration and receiving some public comments on that, Ellen Carroll, County Environmental Coordinator, found it appropriate to pursue the preparation of an environmental impact report that would address not only Phase 1, the realignment project, but also the other two interrelated projects, and give us an opportunity to look at the entirety of that combination of projects and also provide some baseline environmental documentation for the Phase 2, which currently is still in a design phase. We don't have enough detail to complete the environmental analysis to the level for which we would be looking to obtain agency permits and pursue construction. So there would be subsequent environmental analysis for Phase 2 at such time as it is formally proposed, but this would serve to provide that baseline data. Some of the significant and unavoidable impacts of the project that we would like to point out for the board: there would obviously be some increased noise for several residents that take access from Halcyon Road. This particular area in question is part of the Phase 2 project that is located up towards the top of the climbing lane area as you approach the State Route 1 intersection on the Mesa. There are impacts from the conversion of 4.4 acres of and 1.9 acres for Phases 1 and 2 on prime agricultural land. It should be pointed out that Phase 1, while impacting 4.4 acres, includes a provision to rehabilitate 2.3 acres of land that would be coming out from under the old road bed. So we'd stockpile the topsoil for the disturbance areas, remove the road bed, and replace that topsoil on those rehabilitated areas. So the net impact is actually 2.1 acres of prime ag land for the Phase 1. Phase 1A is within the county right-of-way, and Phase 2 would impact 1.9 acres, and that's a net figure. That portion of it does not have a rehabilitation aspect. Go back. I think there was one other bullet there. There's also another impact identified regarding the farming practices from the altered field configurations and increased traffic speed as a result of the improved road. This is something that we don't have sufficient mitigation for to completely resolve that to less than significant, so that's included in this list. Okay, next slide. Phase 1 of the project will conflict with the Williamson Act and other agricultural policies based on the take of the prime agricultural land. Obviously, we've identified that as a primary impact and one that we've mitigated to the maximum extent possible. The remnant agricultural areas that result from the new configuration that would be either rehabilitated or available to adjacent property owners to incorporate into their farming practices. It's feasible to do that. The practicality might not be as good as we would prefer to have, but we have identified that as a significant adverse impact. The project will also result in unavoidable economic impacts from the permanent conversion of productive agricultural land. Again, we've identified mitigation to the maximum extent possible. There is still a residual impact there that we have identified as significant, and so we've addressed that. The impacts to four residents and one parcel along the Climbing Lane project corridor would basically require that those residences in that parcel be acquired by the county. That is a significant adverse impact. The provision of roadways and access can potentially hasten the conversion of adjacent agricultural land and agricultural preserves. So these improvements, as other improvement projects have been identified to affect, basically create a potential for this conversion to occur. And so we've identified that as a significant impact also. Please pardon the summary table text. It's certainly not readable on our screen up here, but this was included for your board's consideration. There was a four-page summary as an attachment to the board letter, and this is a summary of the summary, basically. Some of the key things to consider, again, were the net impacts to agricultural land. For Alternative 17, which is the county's proposed or preferred project, we had the net loss of 2.1 acres versus Alternative 19, which is a proposed two roundabout reconfiguration of the intersection, resulting in 1.49 acres of ag land take. And alternative 20 represents the two signalized T intersections reconfigured and has a net 1.9 acres of farmland take.
As John noted, there's really three major options in front of your board today for consideration on phase one. Over the last 7 years, though, there's been many analysis and options reviewed. Those included running Halcyon Road straight up the Arroyo Grande Channel, looking at diverting all the traffic onto Route 1. Those have been looked at and were shelved based off of environmental constraints, fiscal restraints, other issues that didn't allow those to advance. As part of the MEIR, there was 20 alternatives that were considered and are included in the environmental document. One of the issues in terms of Halcyon Road is why go forward with this project and why not divert it to Willow Road as the appropriate place to move the traffic? First off, on Halcyon Road, there is a present need of peak hour service levels, level of service E, which involves congestion at that location. Much of it is from Cypress Ridge development and other development in the North Napomo Mesa, and is something, again, that we need to advance the project to mitigate. If the board chooses, they have the ability to loan money from what is Area 2, the North Napomo Mesa Road Impact Fee, into Area 1, which is the southern area of the Mesa and is the area that is funding the Willow Road project. The board is already doing that to an extent when it approved the Woodlands Agreement, which was an advancement of fees. A portion of the Woodlands project money is to go into Area 2, approximately $4 million, and that has been loaned already into the Willow Road project. This money would be expected to be repaid some 15 to 20 years out based off of our cash flow analysis. Loaning of any additional money would certainly jeopardize any work at this location and would then essentially take our level of service E, traffic congestion, and devaluate it into a level of service F for a considerable period of time. Those consequences involve the resource management system that your board looks at annually, acceptance of not county policy in terms of traffic congestion, and perhaps the need to look at potential restraint on further development at the North Napomo Mesa so as not to add to this problem. John, I'll give you a chance to talk about the environmentally superior.
The Master EIR actually identifies three environmentally superior alternatives available for the board's consideration. Each alternative that fit within this category was prepared for a resolution and separate set of findings and statements of overriding consideration based on the unique features of each of those alternatives. So we would suggest that should the board choose to act today and select one of those alternatives, the findings appropriate and commensurate for that alternative should be made.
The three major options that we have been looked at, first is Alternative 17. Alternative 17 would realign Halcyon Road under Phase 1 onto the west side of the Arroyo Grande Channel, creating one signalized intersection. This is our preferred alternative as it provides what we consider the long-term solution and allowing us to handle all build-out traffic into the future, thereby providing the highest level of service of the three alternatives. This has also been the alternative that has been progressed and reviewed by Caltrans since the 2000 study reports for the project. And while it does impact the greatest amount of ag land, it is something that can be mitigated down to a 2.1 net loss acreage, which is comparable to, I believe, the 1.9 acres and the 1.4 acres of the other alternatives. If your board chooses the other alternatives, what we have looked at in conjunction with Caltrans and done the environmental analysis on is a dual roundabout solution This would be similar to if we had a diamond interchange and we wanted to put roundabouts on either side and allow the traffic to flow that way. This is something that we would have to proceed with Caltrans to go through the process of approving such roundabouts on a state highway. They would have processes and concerns about the operations, particularly with truck traffic in the area. You can see on the example here that for lining up the roundabouts, we do still have impacts on what would be the northwesterly corner of the intersection, pretty considerable to get the layouts to function. The other alternative for your consideration is signalizing offset intersections, essentially the layout that currently exists. However, to support build-out traffic, we would have to widen or put in an additional bridge over the Arroyo Grande Channel and also do some realignment of the approaches leading into the intersections. This would require having dual left turn lanes involved in the signalization. It would have a comparable impact of the bridge as alternative 17 and would also have significant impacts on along the ag lands along the north side of Route 1. We have received or we have reviewed this with Caltrans, and they would seemingly look at this as a viable project to pursue.
Where do we go from here? Today, we certify the master EIR, adopt the findings and statement of overriding considerations for the preferred alternatives, approve Phase 1A for immediate construction, approve Alternative 17 for Phase 1 construction in the next 3 to 4 years, Phase 2 in the next 10 to 15 years. The next steps, Phase 1A, complete the improvement plans, submit an application to the CTC for allocating the $2 million in STIP funds, award construction by December 2007. We do need to get this application in by April 1st, and so time is of the essence here. Phase 1, prepare and complete construction plans for the selected alternative, start right-of-way acquisition, obtain permits for construction. Phase 2, complete plans for construction in the next 10 to 15 years. Conduct additional environmental analysis prior to time of construction. Acquire residential right-of-way as houses are put on the market for sale. Again, this is a mitigation project, and it's mitigating past and future development on the Mesa. If there is not a project selected, there's a loss of $2 million in STIP funds for Phase 1A, the need to repay $350,000 for Phase 2A project development and environmental documentation, a loss of $1.8 million that has been spent so far on Halcyon Road development costs. We'll have progressive decline in the level of service at the subject intersection and roadway segments. Overall policy compliance to maintain LOS C and D would need to be reduced to LOS E and F or prohibit future development on the Napomo Mesa. Again, a slide of the project showing Phase 2 on the left, Phase 1A in the middle, the widening and overlay, and Phase 1, the intersection realignment. And that concludes our presentation.
Thank you. Questions from my colleagues before we go to the public? Supervisor Patterson?
I thought you would have gone on a break.
For public comment.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I have a couple, Mr. Chair. Thank you. All three alternatives do have some impact on ag land, and we'll lose some prime ag land of varying amounts, albeit I think the net loss for alternative 19 was only less than 2 acres. But I'm curious to know if there's been any thought to offsetting that loss with the permanent acquisition and preservation of prime ag land in the area through the use of a conservation easement or some other means. Has that been considered so we don't have that
we don't have to make that overriding consideration, or we can mitigate it in some way?
That issue is discussed in the final EIR, as Mary Rentz might want to expand upon. The City of Rio Grande has suggested that as mitigation consistent with their policies. And although it would work to mitigate the project impacts, that particular mitigation was discussed as a policy issue that's currently not supported by the county's general plan. And so the concern there would be using an environmental impact report to create county policy when really the policy should be implemented through the general plan and then identified and incorporated into an environmental impact assessment based on its existence in the general plan. So it was looked at, it was discussed, and it was not included on that basis.
Okay. If I may ask County Council if that is an option that we could use as a condition for the project, even though it's not current policy in the general plan, could we condition the project to mitigate through some ag land preservation mechanism?
I'm Tim McNulty with the County Council's office. I believe you could do that. Given that Ms. Rentz is here in the audience today and she apparently worked on this issue and determined whether or not it ought to be put forward, we might want to hear from her about it as well.
Okay.
I think that would be a good idea, if you want her to come forward now or later, if it's part of your question.
Well, she's coming forward.
There we go.
Yeah, we might have to follow up.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Mary Rentz. I'm president of Morrill Group and the project manager on the CIR. We looked into this, and I was kind of placed in a conundrum because there is no policy with the county to provide for mitigation for agricultural resources. It's definitely possible under the California Environmental Quality Act, required as a mitigation measure. So we included it in the EIR as a mitigation measure, but then also said that at this point we could not follow through with the mitigation measure. We couldn't implement it given current policy. If your board determines that you would like to look into this further, then yes, the mitigation measure is in the EIR and can be used. There's a lot of questions regarding this. We've spent quite a bit of time talking with the Ag Commissioner's Office about this issue, and we're all aware of it. We just aren't quite sure how to implement agricultural covenants at this time, and we really could use some guidance on the issue. It's definitely a mitigation measure that's been used elsewhere.
Okay. Good. Thank you. I do, or I'm under the impression that this project is a mitigation project for development that has been allowed on the Napomo Mesa, specifically Cypress Ridge. Is that correct? I mean, we're doing this as a condition, as a mitigation condition for that project that has been approved. Is that correct?
Yeah, Dave Flynn with Public Works. That's correct. We've been collecting fees in Area 2 since 1990, which is to mitigate that increase in traffic, and Halcyon Road has been a major player or a major element of that, and Cypress Ridge was probably the largest development in that area.
Okay. A couple more questions. This STIP money that you made reference to, is that specifically for this project, and that's state transportation funds? Can it also, or can it be transferred to another project, or does it have to be used for this project?
The STIP money was programmed back in 2001 through San Luis Obispo Council of Governments for this project, which was noted as Phase 1, Phase 1 being both the intersection at Rio Grande Channel and that about three-quarters of a mile stretch south towards the base of the grade. It is specifically designated to this project. The COG staff, I believe, is here and could answer any other specific questions you may have on that.
Okay. One final question that I have. The alternative 19, and you actually described three alternatives, 17, 19, and 20, with alternative 17 being the preferred alternative from staff's perspective. Also, alternative 19 being an option as well, but requiring a bridge widening, and both of those have Caltrans blessing, and they feel that those could be implemented with their support. Caltrans is a player here because of State Highway 1. Alternative 19, which is the dual roundabouts, has less impact on ag land, is less expensive, and from those two perspectives, it looks like, you know, a better choice. But you raise the issue that there's some question as to whether or not it will service that area long term, and that Caltrans may not be cooperative in approving alternative 19. When was the last time Caltrans actually evaluated that, and is that still their position? Because from a cost perspective and from an environmental perspective, that seems like a better alternative. I think we need to evaluate, will it serve the needs long term? And can you respond to that?
Of the alternatives, alternative 19 wouldn't require any bridge widening. It would just be the roundabouts on either side. And for the roundabout processing with Caltrans, it would require special exceptions or a special granting of approval of use of a roundabout through their Sacramento Design Center. The last time we explored this in detail was last fall when we proposed the roundabouts as an alternative. And with that, alternative 20 came up in terms of offset signalized intersection. And just in our general discussion, it was felt that alternative 20 was something that could be enacted much more easier. There's not additional approvals. It's a known way of handling the problem. It would be something that the county could proceed with construction on under an encroachment permit. In terms of the overall process of which project or alternative would provide the best service, what our knowledge is from working with other interchanges where you have, say, two ramp intersections, is those always become dysfunctional versus having one controllable intersection, and that's why we would see that as serving the build-out traffic and something that can be easily implemented as well as providing the necessary capacity. Tom Houston with Caltrans is here, though, who could speak to your questions about what they may or may not approve.
Okay. Thank you.
Please state your name for the record.
I'm Tom Houston, project manager with District 5 here in Caltrans Department of Transportation. The issue is on the roundabouts. Currently, there has not been agreement with Caltrans to approve them. There is a process to get that, but it is extremely lengthy. And what happens is we have to make sure that it would, in fact, work. We do not know that yet. That process has not been done to say that it works for the lifetime that you would expect. How long would it take? Typically 4 to 6 months. We have to basically look at geometrics and operations and project their operations out to see that it, in fact, does work. It's a dual roundabout. The science on evaluation of roundabouts is ever-changing. There are experts in the field, but it is it's a very lengthy and difficult process. Aside from the fact that right now you're making the assumption that the impacts are less, they may not be, because you don't have the specific geometrics of the roundabouts that are required, or if you're using a bypass lane. And until you really have it settled that this is the geometrics that works operationally at this location, you don't know exactly what the impacts are going to be. And I would caution you that it may not truly be less of an impact on your ag lands.
Thank you for that input. I'm just basing my information on what the staff presented in their report, and at this point in time, they do feel that it would be less. But thank you for that clarification. If it does indeed take 4 to 6 months to review that, then we lose our opportunity to receive the STIP funds. Is that correct? That has to move forward within the month.
Yes, we do need to have the environmental documents certified this month in order to secure that funding through the California Transportation
Commission. And a final question, Mr. Flynn, what is the current level of service of that area?
The level of service at the intersection is level service E during PM peak hours, which, you know, which involves about 50 seconds to 60 seconds of delay for the average vehicle. Along the roadway itself, the lack of shoulders reduces that level of service to about a D. By adding the shoulders, we'll correct that.
Thank you. Those are all my questions.
Thank you. Chair. Supervisor Asajjan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to say most of my comments at a later date, but some of the questions being raised here, and I have a couple other questions myself. One about the losing of the STIP money. I think what's in front of us, we can use the STIP money in order not to lose it, but having served on the Slocock board, we can also withdraw that money, put in a saving, and bring it back to a different date, and members of Slocock are here to as I say, stand to be corrected, and they're welcome to do so if I'm wrong. The question about the money that was designated to this improvements from Cypress Ridge was for a traffic light, signal light, and not for the entire improvement of Halcyon and Highway 1. That issue came from Caltrans when they said you cannot put the traffic lights in, you have to realign Halcyon and Highway 1. That's why we're here for. The issue of how we best mitigate measures to save agriculture land, the answer is simple. Don't waste any agriculture land. You don't have to mitigate it. And maybe later on we can put something on the table that just does that. We can bring improvements without going to ag land. We'll talk about it at the right time. And the statement that was made about Halcyon being a major link to Highway 1 through Rio Grande, I think after we put Willow through, the major link has to go through El Campo and leave the folks of Halcyon, Oceano, Rio Grande, give them that break they need, and those are the areas that the solution is a must and have to be done someday sooner than later. But those are the solutions we need to talk about at the right time. I have not supported the realignment in the past, nor today, nor in the future, but I am for some improvements to come to that area. The three reasons that I did not support and has been questioned and answered for the realignment, and I did use some strong words for the realignment, again, not for some improvements. There were the farmland, butchering of farmland, the additional money that was needed to come to this project from Area 2, and also the condemnation that I'll talk about a little later when we come back, as if this project was to be approved as recommended by staff in the future, what will happen to it. But my question is more so for our council, because when folks... when we go into the process of maybe approving a portion of what's been recommended here, by us certifying the final master environmental impact report, what are we doing? Are we approving enough of these projects? Because I want the public to have that understanding as what happens if we certify the master environmental impact report.
I'm Tim McNulty with the County Council's office. Before you could move forward with any of the projects or components of any of the projects, you would need to perform some kind of environmental review, and your staff has presented you today with a master environmental impact report with a number of different alternatives. But approving the environmental document itself only, you know, removes an obstacle, if you will. It doesn't actually approve any of the projects. Those would come to you in subsequent actions where you would enter into contracts with contractors to build those things and so forth. So, it doesn't actually approve any of the projects. It does perhaps remove one of the obstacles to proceeding with the projects that are evaluated in the document.
Okay, we're both on record saying that by certifying the master EIR, we're not approving enough of these projects. So that's an obstacle that has to be dealt with.
You could certainly do that. And, you know, I think the findings that have been presented to you today are concerning themselves with certifying that document rather than actually approving the project.
And our CEQA finding, does that have to be related to a project recommended here, or if we approve the CEQA finding, what are we doing?
You shouldn't make the CEQA findings beyond certification. unless you know exactly what it is that you want to carry out. Because as the staff pointed out to you, there will be different findings that will be needed for different segments of what they've proposed, or if you are proposing something else altogether for that project, whatever that is. So if you're going to approve something other than what's been presented in the staff report, then you ought to continue the matter and allow for a separate set of findings to be prepared.
Okay. Thank you. Can I ask a question, the gentleman from Caltrans, please?
Certainly. Please step forward and state your name again for the record.
Tom Houston with Department of Transportation.
Thank you for being here. I heard what you said about alternate 19, but according to our staff reporting, the 20 has received a Caltrans tacit approval. Can you comment on that?
Yes, that is correct. It will work. We have said it will work. It does involve widening the bridge, five lanes on the bridge, dual left turns, but it does work.
So among all the alternatives, is the 20th that has received your tacit approval, or just 20 for the time being, or what are we talking about?
Well, obviously we would prefer 17, the single point. But the question is which works?
That's not going to happen while I'm here.
Yeah, I understand that. What I'm saying is that works. We've said that the other one works, and I don't know whether the roundabouts, in fact, work. That determination has not been met yet. But of the alternatives that are presented in this report, 17 and the alternative with the widening of the bridge and the turn lanes work to Caltrans satisfaction.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, if you wish to go to break now, and I'll say my comments at a later date.
Thank you. It's 11 o'clock, and we're actually pretty much right on time today, and I have a little over an hour worth of public comment, so we're going to take a 15-minute break. Please come back at 11:15. Katja's got several rabbits in the drawer here, full side. Thank you. We're live now. We've got to get back to work.
We'll do our best. We're not going to make everybody happy, but I think there are some things we can talk about as how we can look at the big picture.
If we can take our seats, we'll continue with our meeting, and I'll open it up to public comment. We have several requests to speak, and what we'd like to do is I'll announce two names. If one person would approach the podium, the second person approach the opposite podium. And in the interest of time, because we have well over an hour worth of testimony here, you can say that you agree with the previous speaker if it helps shorten the time period, but I don't want to cut anyone's chance to speak. But there is an old saying that says you do not have to speak long to speak well and effectively. With that, our first speaker is going to be Rafael Montemuro, followed by David Janowski. Jaworski. I'm sorry, I couldn't read your writing.
Rafael Montemuro, 2807 South Halcyon Road. I would ask the Honorable...
Would you see if your microphone's on or if somebody pushed the button there? Or that's better. Just lean. I think you have to lift it up, so there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Rafael Montemuro, 2807 South Halcyon Road. I would ask the Honorable Chairman, please let me know 30 seconds before my time is up.
And because we had a microphone problem, I'm going to give you an extra 15 seconds.
I just started the time over.
Thank you.
I'm here to speak in regard to Phase 2. I have no problem with Phase 1. I have no problem with Phase 1A. But Phase 2 will result in the four houses on the page 3, the bottom paragraph of John's report, have an adverse impact effect. Well, my house is one of those houses. So I would ask that the easiest, the Corporation Council will tell you, it'll never be this cheap again, amend the resolution and vote against Phase 2, because I intend to leave that house to my grandchildren, and I'll do whatever it takes. Eminent domain, you know, picket. I mean, I don't even want to go there. But it's not going to be, well, let's wait and see, you know, if we can get that piece of property for, because it's not going to happen. And then there's all kinds of, you know, questions, and I'm not going to have time to address them. But, like, for example, I asked Mr. Ramey at a public hearing, why are we entertaining a climbing lane to spend, you know, millions of tax dollars when we don't have a climbing lane on the state highway? You know, this is a county road. If they feel that they need a truck climbing, then that should be on State Highway 1, not on the county road. It'd be much easier to bring down matching funds to improve a state highway than a county road. As far as the eminent domain piece, you know, it's not an easy job that you have today to be asked to vote. And I know I've been there. I voted against citing a jail because they were going to use eminent domain. And, you know, then when the dust settled, I looked like a hero. I asked you to do the right thing. Ask the Corporation Council. It'll never be this cheap. You amend the resolution. You don't favor phase two. And there's no litigation. Otherwise, you know, I have no choice but to fight with whatever it takes for my family to save my home, because there's no reason on a county road to spend that kind of money. And then even if you ask the engineers, a county road intersections are supposed to be widest at the end of the intersection. That EIR's got more holes than the 1,294 pages than a spaghetti strainer. They're proposing taking all of my property, which is the last house before the gas station, and then next door only taking 25 feet. Well, what kind of sense does that make? Why would you want to knock down my house, make my family homeless?
30 seconds.
I'm sure you have 30 seconds.
All right. With that, you know, you've got the gist of it. I'm very passionate about this. I would ask that you do not move forward to phase two, and I want to thank the board for your time and attention.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Mr. Jaworski, followed by Barbara Reich.
Thank you, board. David Jaworski, Aurora Grandy. I agree with Raphael's take on this. Phase two should not go through. Phase one, yeah, some improvement does need to be happened down at the intersection down there. The build-out of Phase 2 in the Pomo Mesa, I don't know if the traffic calculations factor in with growth and water restrictions of growth. You know, earlier we heard comments on saltwater intrusion, et cetera. South San Luis County has not bought into state water, so we're all dependent on groundwater. We only have 8 years of groundwater down there. How much growth does that sustain? You know, are we going to have the traffic flow for that or the traffic requirements for that? One of the alternates in this MEIR, alternate 14, was to have a acceleration lane. You have a bunch of single lanes of traffic right now going into a single lane. What is the point of having a acceleration lane? Right now, there is a lot of cars that speed off that road. They do their fair share of getting from 0 to 70 as fast as they can to fly off the top of the cliff, so to speak. Given an acceleration lane will cause more safety concerns, especially at the end where that lane merges into a single lane, where it's still going to be a single lane going off the mesa. There is no benefits in this project. You know, you're not improving a lot of flow off the mesa. You're improving a two-lane road to a two-lane road. You're going to improve flow, make a new road. I know the Willow project is kind of moving. I'd say this project needs to be all readdressed after the Willow project goes in and traffic patterns reestablished. Phase two approval now will reduce the property values on our block immediately, right now, not in 10 or 15 years, because if the county's got 10 years to acquire property, yeah, it will acquire it at those market rates in 10 to 15 years, but we will lose property values today with approval now, because then we have to disclose it in our real estate. So I would vote for no approval of phase two. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mrs. Reich, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, followed by Michael Wynn.
Barbara Rickey.
Rickey, I'm sorry.
Yes. I just want to state that I am totally opposed to the House Inn Road project and the climbing lane, since I'm right at the top of the hill at 2820 South House Inn. And I'm just wanted to say that I'm just opposed to the whole thing. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Michael Wynn, followed by Keith McIndoe.
Good morning. My name is Mike Wynn, and I'm from Napomo. And I'm going to urge you to approve the EIR, but to choose alternate 20 instead of the one advised by staff. This is a project that has been driven more by available funds than by traffic problems. The mean delay is around 20 seconds at those stop signs, and the project would reduce that by about 12 seconds. Staff can correct me if I'm off by a digit or two. But, of course, for busy people to have to sit for 20 seconds is very irritating, and we all like instant gratification. And roundabouts, of course, would keep us moving, which we like to do. But in reality, alternate 20 is what we would have done years ago had we understood that Caltrans would permit signalizing the intersections. That's what the impact fees were taken for Cypress Ridge. That's the simplest and the cheapest, and I would urge you to go ahead with that. The idea of alternate 17 has been rejected by every significant segment of society. The city of Rio Grande sent you correspondence. They voted unanimously against it. The community of Halcyon has been opposed to it from the very first day. The Pomos Advisory Council said no. Agriculture says no. The monies from impact area number 2 need to be loaned for the Willow interchange. It's your highest priority, which you've adopted for 2 years in a row now as a Board of Supervisors. And yes, it will need to be paid back, and that would only be rightful. But on the Mesa, we are a unified community in many ways, and that is our highest priority. The Class 1 impacts, I think we went over a little quickly. To simply say noise and do not take into account the character of Halcyon as a quiet, peaceful, communal type of village, I think misses the point. That's a major issue. Agriculture would be a disaster. Losing permanently acres of ag land, pressure to convert the ag land that was next to it, permanent impacts, which staff had said cannot be mitigated, and prime ag land left with some remnants that aren't really usable. These are all huge problems. But in addition, the increased traffic speed, which staff did refer to, I remind you that that's increased traffic speed through Halcyon, a quiet little place whose character is based on that, past Harlow Elementary School, one of the most busy elementary schools in Rio Grande, through the T intersection with the Pike, which has been problematic for years, and past both the Rio Grande Hospital and channeling further traffic into the Briscoe interchange. For all these reasons, I urge you to approve the EIR, say no to alternate 17, and say yes to number 20. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Keith McIndoe, followed by Charles Hebard.
Hi, my name is Keith McIndoe, 2850 South Halcyon. I oppose to anything involved with Phase 2, the hill climbing lane, or anything involved with my property. I heard something interesting this morning. You know, it hit home with me because from being a family of farmers and ranchers, you know, being a good custodian to your land. And as I think local government has that right. You know, they need to take that into hands, too, with how they look at future projects and this and that. And I really don't feel that this climbing lane or this hill deal, it doesn't suit anybody's needs. It's a Band-Aid that's a very expensive Band-Aid to take care of not addressing Willow Road. A lot of this impact we're seeing with this traffic right now is because Willow isn't completed or something in where the Woodlands and the Calendar Road subdivisions are taking place right there. And what that person said earlier, I made, you know, take care of Willow and then do the impact reports on this stuff. You know, Highway 1 has been approved for quite a long time to be done there. I feel Caltrans is a better salesman on this than our Public Works Department. You know, if they put the emphasis in lobbying the state and this and that and putting it the way it's supposed to go, that, you know, we wouldn't be in this position right now. And if those mansions weren't on the hill dictating some of this direction, why, you know, going down Halcyon, that, you know, might be a different case scenario. But all, you know, everything enhanced with our community growing and this and that, as I just really feel that you guys as local government need to be good custodians of our farmland, of our communities, and I just want you to take all that into hands when you're making your decision today. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Charles Hebert, followed by Eleanor Shumway.
Yes, I'm Charles Hebert, and I am here to be anti the phase 2 also.
There's some confusion as to the plans of Phase 2, and at one time it was stopped, now it's not stopped, or it is stopped, and I'd like to find out if it's stopped, and if it was stopped, when, what the accumulated costs so far have been in those plans for Phase 2, and the concentration of work time. In other words, when is the vast majority of the work, when was that done? Was it recent, or was it a couple of months ago? And I beg to logic. How can there be traffic mitigation if the only gain to the climbing lane is to add the truck lane to bring vehicles onto the mesa, not to take anybody off? Nothing is gained in off. All is gained in on, and what you've got in on is slow-moving traffic. I think the problem is there hasn't been really public input. It's never changed since we started. You know, it's basically the same format. Nothing's changed. And it seems to me that the commitment to waste $25 million to get $2 million is crazy. I'm a businessman, and I want to tell you, only a government could do that. No business would spend $1,800,000 so far, and they don't know yet whether the project is even feasible via the Caltrans. So it is a Band-Aid. It throws a tremendous pressure on Halcyon. It's a cute little country road, and you're raping the land, in my opinion. So, in my opinion, stop Phase 2 and do a good job on Phase 1. I don't know that if you come up with an idea that's not Caltrans approved, why are we making these decisions today? We've had months to do this. It didn't come about. The two roundabouts came about a month ago. It's way too late, and you're chasing $2 million. It's just that it's a taxpayer's $25 million that's being committed. So I urge that you think real deep about that. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. Eleanor Shumway, followed by Karen White.
Good morning, honorable supervisors. I'm Eleanor Shumway, resident of Halcyon for the past 65 years, and currently the guardian-in-chief of the Temple of the People, a corporation soul which owns about 85% of the land in the village. The town of Halcyon was founded in 1903 by members of the Temple of the People who moved to California from Syracuse, New York. Along with neighbors of many spiritual persuasions, the community has grown slowly, keeping a low profile while providing a place in which people committed to tranquility in a natural environment may practice their beliefs. All residents, be they renters or landowners, are united in their efforts to preserve the quiet natural setting without curbs, gutters, or streetlights. Because of the sense of community, mutual involvement in common goals, the family support nature of the village, and trust in our neighbors, no homeowners association is needed. Many people from the surrounding communities come to our village to walk in the natural setting and to enjoy the calm, positive energy. Our goal is to preserve this for the future. Although we oppose the current MEIR and plans for the intersection of Halcyon Road and Highway 1, it is not in a spirit of antagonism or opposition to progress, but rather to focus on how we can work out a plan for the region that honors the needs of all. Halcyon has always had a cordial and cooperative relationship with the county government, and no matter how you, the board, decide this matter today from your vantage point, I trust that we can continue to work on compromises that honor our need to protect our unique historical community. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Karen M. White, followed by Cheryl Price.
Good morning, gentlemen. I am Karen M. White, Halcyon Lane, Hiawatha Lane, Halcyon, a resident there most of my life. As president of the Halcyon Community Association, I am here to tell you that Halcyon's community remains opposed to all aspects of the planned Halcyon Road Highway 1 realignment plan. We have voted and voted again to reaffirm our displeasure with the master EIR, which we urge you to reject. We also urge you to vote against all plans for road improvement. The reason is simple. After reading all 112, 94 pages of the MEIR, the traffic studies, and most other information available, it is obvious that Halcyon has not been considered. Where is our mitigation? We didn't create the traffic, but must live with the congestion, dirt, and noise. The introduction to the MEIR states the cumulative results of the projects may, and I read that as will, result in a potentially significant effects that cannot be mitigated. The report says these include growth-inducing impacts, reversible significant effects to environment and agriculture. Your staff report on the project states it will have permanent impact on farming practices from altered field configurations, unavoidable economic impacts from the permanent conversion of productive agricultural land, and increased traffic speeds as a result of the improved roads. Little authentic mitigation has been offered Halcyon for these impacts. The effects remain significant, unavoidable, and adverse, your staff states. What does CEQA say about that? The road realignment is to create a quicker, so allegedly safer, commute path for residents coming from the Napomo Mesa for 1 hour night and morning. The intersection gets a 33-second increase. The state and county spend up to $5.5 million, and the needs of the people who live in Halcyon and along Halcyon Road North are ignored. The alignment does not tie into any great scheme for traffic improvements in the South County. It's just a step to make a collector road go quicker to nowhere. All of the roads along Halcyon offer bottlenecks, stop signs. San Luis Obispo County's leaders should come up with a better plan that leads drivers on a path, then leading drivers on a path through farm fields, 17, around in one-lane circles, 19, or just add two stoplights, two turn lanes, and another bridge for its $5 million. It really doesn't make any sense if you stand back and look at the complexities of South County traffic. After all, Halcyon Road North ends at the classic traffic blight of Briscoe Road,
White,
El Camino Real.
Your time is up. Yeah. Please complete your last sentence.
Yes, I will. I am also submitting a petition against the project signed by more than 100 residents of Halcyon, Napomo, Oceana, and Grover City. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl Price, followed by Avaliano Rodriguez.
My name is Cheryl Price, and I have the pleasure of residing in the Halcyon Township. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members of the Board of Supervisors, for allowing me to speak on this project today. I appreciate the detailed and varied proposals presented in the MEIR, the methods of dispersing traffic from the Napomo Mesa along this northern traffic corridor have been thoroughly developed. I commend the developers of this MEIR for that point. However, I must ask the Board of Supervisors to reject the MEIR in its current scope for three reasons. Safety for all people within the South County. The scope of this project misses its target of safety for those people, and the project is in direct conflict with the South County Area Plan, just recently revised in 2006. The issues of safety on Halcyon Road, south of State Route 1, have been correctly identified and needs immediate attention. But the scope of this project misses the safety of all people upstream who warrant as much reflection. Increased traffic past Harlow Elementary. Current Halcyon Road congestion as it crosses the Pike, Fair Oaks, Grand Avenue, and Briscoe Road. Halcyon is used as an arterial road will increase this congestion. These intersections have high traffic accident numbers, greater than the intersection in question at Halcyon and State Route 1. The traffic study statistics have been noted in my comments prior in the draft MEIR. We find it difficult to understand why these other congestion issues have not been addressed. Perhaps it is because these other intersections are partly or wholly outside the county's jurisdiction, which brings me to my second point, which should force a rethinking and reevaluation of the scope of this project. It is interesting that the edge of this project falls before the village of Halcyon, At present, it is difficult to exit Halcyon in a northbound direction, making it more difficult with increased traffic. This is outside the scope as identified by the Morrow Group. Furthermore, the impact of more cars on the already stressed Halcyon Road will create more bottlenecks upstream. The South County Area Plan, revised in 2006, quotes that Halcyon is designated as a rural collector road. A rural collector road is defined as a road that connects pedestrians and bicyclists to their neighborhoods. Halcyon Road is not identified as a main artery road. That definition states that a main artery road carries traffic from population centers serving large volumes of traffic within an urban area.
Your time is up. You'd have to complete your last sentence, please.
I have come full circle, and I ask that you look at the cost of $5.5 million as too much money for a project that fails to address the whole. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Rodriguez, I received two requests to speak from you, so I can only allow you to speak once on this issue.
Pardon me?
I received two requests to speak from you on this, but you can only speak once.
Yeah, yes, only for C3.
Okay. But you sent me two of them to respect.
Unless there was a duplicate.
He's an important man.
Perhaps someone filled one out for you.
Possibly. Well, anyways, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Aureliano Rodriguez, and I am a Halcyon resident. I'm here before this honorable board to ask you to reject the Halcyon Road Realignment Project Plan and the EIR. This board was elected to represent the people of the county and to protect the county natural resources. The Halcyon Road Realignment Project will destroy prime agriculture land with all the alternatives. This is not acceptable on any level, whether the project takes 1 acre or 5 acres. All the alternative plans are careless and unsound, with the exception of the plan that will go straight through, but stop deeming too expensive as a viable alternative. Any amount of agriculture land taken is too much. Prime agriculture land is becoming extinct at an alarming rate due to urban sprawl and careless planning. Just in case staff had not been transparent with you, the piece of agricultural land that that the project will take is under the Williamson Act and cannot be taken when it's under contract. According to Government Code Section 51292 states, and I quote, a public agency is prohibited from locating a public improvement project with an agricultural preserve based primarily on consideration of the lower cost of acquiring land in agricultural preserve or where other land is available outside the preserve on which it is reasonable, feasible to locate the public improvement. Honorable Board, there are alternatives. The State Director of Conservation is given the power under Government Code Section 51294 to enforce this provision by mandamus proceedings. Presently, we do not know if staff has been in contact with the State Director of Conservation. The project manager of this project has not been transparent on any level with the people who are affected the most, which are the residents of the community of Halcyon. All in all, these plans are bad plans, and I urge you to reject the project and the EIR. I also urge this honorable board to direct county staff to go back to the drawing board to rethink and redraw a better plan that will not endanger one piece of agriculture land. This can be done by going straight through on land that is already dead. Yes, it will cost more than the proposed alternatives, but that is why we citizens pay our taxes for occasions like this, when those tax dollars are needed.
Mr. Rodriguez, your time is up. You can finish your last sentence.
Here's a suggestion. We could demand our fair share of the $20 million bond issue approved by the voters last November. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Susie Clark, followed by Chris Tyring.
Good
Is Chris Tyring here?
Yeah.
Leo.
My name is Susie Clark. I have lived in Halcyon most of my life. I also own and operate the Halcyon store and post office, and I'm very aware of the traffic. The traffic at the intersection is very heavy twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon. The rest of the time, it flows very easily. I'm opposed to this entire, all three of them. It's wrong. We live in a beautiful rural area. That's it. Please. Vote no.
Thank you for your comments. Chris Tyring, followed by, it says Perry Peterson via Will White. I'm not sure what that means. Are you speaking for someone or? You're next. Mr. Tyring.
My name is Chris Tyring. I have lived in the town of Halcyon for 37 years. I come before you today to ask you to carefully consider what staff is asking you to accept. This process has a fairly long history and a history of not being truthful and open to public scrutiny. Today, staff has brought you three alternatives to choose from. I question the way this process has evolved. Staff early on developed a plan and started to push it forward without a full consideration of a larger picture. And the Board of Supervisors kept funding this project. The lawyer for the Temple of the People wrote a letter to staff dated August 12, 2005, and cited several legal processes that were overlooked. This letter forced a reevaluation by staff. More work, more money, more paperwork, and still a failure to follow the requirements set forth under CEQA. The project moved forward with the blessing of the Board of Supervisors. Another letter from the Temple's lawyer dated January 25, 2007, again voiced the same concerns that the 1,294-page mirror still did not address regional issues. Staff is not taking into account the larger picture of the regional flow of traffic. The focus of this EIR is too narrow in its scope. The goal of this realignment project is to spend several million dollars to achieve, in the words of Dale Ramey, project manager, a flow of traffic that will be approximately 33 seconds faster. Traffic needs to flow faster through this intersection so that motorists will feel better about their daily commute. This will, as Mr. Ramey said, help quell the potential road rage that may be present. No consideration was made that the same bottleneck will happen again a mere half a mile north on Halcyon Road at the Pike intersection. When this point is brought before various staff members, they always say it's not in the county jurisdiction and it's Arroyo Grande's problem. Kudos for the county. Fix your own traffic problems by dumping them into your neighbor's yard. Again, no regional consideration given to the bigger problems of traffic. What about traffic on a very problematic road south of Halcyon Road intersection to the base of the Mesa? Let's spend this money, this $2 million plus, here and fix a problem that locals want fixed. Supervisors want to be perceived by the constituents as proactive. I'm sure not one of you wants to lose the $2 million for this project allocated by the state. I feel that if staff had been broader in their consideration of local concerns, talking in depth with residents and studying this problem in a timely manner, we would not be faced with this problem right here today. By accepting this EIR, you are agreeing to a Band-Aid fix of an arterial bleeding problem of massive proportions. Life is all about choices, and today's choices will have far-reaching effects. Please do the right thing today. Do not accept this package. Thank you for allowing me to participate in this process.
Thank you for your comments. Perry Peterson, followed by Mary Forth.
Yes, I'll read this verbatim for Perry.
Will you state your name for the record if you're not Perry Peterson?
William White, Halcyon Village. I've lived there for 46 years.
Thank you.
Members of the board, my purpose is to explain how a fiscal conservative sees the problem and the solution at the intersection of Halcyon Road and State Highway 1. First, some background. Drivers leaving the north end of the Napomo Mesa headed for Oceano or Briscoe Road and Highway 101 have two choices. They can stay on Highway 1 and proceed to where it intersects with Halcyon Road and Arroyo Grande Creek, or they can take a shortcut via South Halcyon Road to where it rejoins Highway 1 just east of Arroyo Grande Creek. This shortcut is 0.5 miles shorter than the Highway 1 route, and a vehicle taking this route can get to the northern intersection of Highway 1 about 40 seconds more quickly. It makes sense, therefore, that most local drivers prefer that shortcut. There is a problem that comes with the shortcut, however. At the two peak hours of traffic, at about 8 a.m. and about 6 p.m., cars line up at the stop sign at the intersection waiting to return to the highway he just left a few minutes earlier in favor of the shortcut. At these two times of the day, the drivers may be delayed for several minutes. Additionally, as these drivers cross the southbound lane of Highway 1, they cause southbound traffic arriving at this intersection from points west to also back up. The solution to these bottlenecks, according to your planners, is to redo the intersection at a cost of $2.5 to $5.5 million, repave the shortcut for hundreds of thousands more, and then condemn a number of homes as they build a land bridge climbing lane up the mesa at a cost of billions more. All of this to solve the problem of drivers having to wait a few minutes at a stop sign because they are the very same drivers who have chosen to take a shortcut off of the mesa. Your staff is recommending that you spend tens of millions of dollars to solve a problem that needs only some common sense, one stoplight, and a modicum of political backbone. You may think that I'm oversimplifying this problem. I am not. I realize that I am not an expert from Public Works or the Morrow Group. Indeed, I am only a knuckle-dragging son of a football coach. But I promise you that this problem can easily be solved without you spending millions of taxpayer dollars that are sorely needed for legitimate traffic problems elsewhere. The details of my solutions are included in the MEIR. County government has already spent nearly $1 million to study this intersection. Please do not spend a vote. Please do not spend even more on this unnecessary project. And that's over the signature of Perry Peterson, who's another longtime Halcyon Village resident. And I would like to add, as for my own comment, I'm a graduate of Cal Poly in engineering discipline. And just the engineering on this is wrong. It's very flawed. It is not well thought out. And I urge you to vote against the MEIR. It needs to be rethought from the word go. It's bad engineering all the way around.
Thank you for your comments. Mary Forth, followed by Linda Rawlinson.
Yes, my name is Mary Forth. I live at 1622 Dower in Halcyon. And I'm actually going to read a letter from Marty Fast, who's my neighbor there. My name is Marty Fast, and I've lived in Halcyon for 32 years. I teach at Allen Hancock College and have driven through the Halcyon Road, Highway 1 intersection twice a day for work, which is quite a few trips over three decades. Yes, traffic has increased, and yes, the wait at the intersection is longer at rush hour, but it really doesn't cause me to wait longer than an extra minute at the worst times, and many days I don't need to wait at all. I am very concerned about which option you choose. First, a double roundabout on that stretch of road would be a tough go for the many tractor trailers who take that stretch for farming and shipping produce from Oceano. Though cheaper, it doesn't seem like an effective solution for this situation. Second, California farmland is being swallowed up at an alarming rate, and the thought of turning productive acreage into asphalt for this purpose is one more perceptible bite out of our local agriculture. In the big picture, 4 acres isn't much, but little nibbles out of the land across our state have contributed to unprecedented losses of good productive land. For those of us who live in Halcyon, this is a significant bite from our home. We are concerned for the greater good, but please consider an option that means less land lost. My third concern is for our safety as we turn onto Halcyon Road. The option that takes the largest swath of farmland will also severely decrease our sight lines toward vehicles traveling north. It's hard enough to see as it is now, but that extra curve would make the intersection at the Halcyon store a real nightmare for everyone. Finally, there is the bridge. During the huge storm a few New Year's ago, we think it was 1997, I went down to see the Arroyo Grande Creek, which was running high and fast under that intersection. The debris was right up under the span. In my observation, elevating and widening the bridge could be a crucial aspect, and option 20 would offer that. We know that county supervisors don't get to please all of the people all of the time. Those of us in Halcyon are concerned for the greater good and understand that you are juggling funding streams and timelines. The most straightforward solution widens the road and beefs up the bridge with the smallest loss of farmland. If you're going to make a change at all, I urge you to recommend funding for option 20. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Linda Rollison, followed by Kevin Bocamp.
I'm Linda Rollison. I am a resident of the town of Halcyon and a member of the Temple of the People for the last 25 years. Mr. Chairman, supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo, it's apparent to anyone who lives in the South County that there are problems with traffic due to residential development in the past decade or two. It's clear that improvements need to be made to facilitate the flow of traffic for all residents of the South County. However, the project under consideration at the intersection of Halcyon Road and State Route 1 would do little to mitigate the overall traffic problems, while it would degrade the quality of life of residents of the town of Halcyon. As a point of information, earlier in the staff presentation, it was mentioned that Halcyon Road was a main route in the South County since 1874. Now, that is apparently could be true, and certainly is, because it was a connecting road between the village of Arroyo Grande and the railroad, which had its depot in Oceano. But it could not have been called Halcyon Road. The name Halcyon came from the town of Halcyon, which was established 29 years later in 1903. The central coast of California is a paradise. It isn't surprising that so many people want to live here. The town of Halcyon keeps a low profile, but it is indeed an asset to the area, a center of peace and tranquility, a place where people can enjoy the traditional values of family and community in an environment of mutual assistance and interdependence. It is even possible that the aura generated by the town of Halcyon over a century of dedication to such substantial and positive pursuits is one of the qualities that makes this area so attractive to so many people. The residents of Halcyon are in favor of progress towards solving the problems that face our South County community, but we urge the supervisors to pursue progressive solutions which need not require the destruction of the way of life of one segment of society to satisfy the needs of another segment. True progress serves the needs of all the people. As supervisors of San Luis Obispo County, you face a tremendous challenge in the 21st century to try to preserve the special qualities of this lovely central coast while accommodating the inevitable influx of residents and their attendant needs and demands. As you proceed in your decision and policy making, please keep in mind that it is possible to find new ways to solve old problems, and that as long as you try your best to treat your constituents fairly and seek creative ways to address the issues that arise, you will be doing a great job. Try to keep the big picture in mind and realize that the larger view often can...
Mrs. Rawlinson, your time is up. You can complete your last sentence.
...far-reaching and lasting solutions which can enhance the lives of all for years to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Kevin Bochamp, followed by Jack Dixon.
I'm Kevin Beauchamp. I am a South County Area 5 representative and a resident of Cypress Ridge. First of all, I want to thank Cacho for his support in this issue, his focus on Willow Road as being where a lot of energy should be spent, and in general, his honesty in working with us. I do appreciate that. Since I've been involved in public matters and government issues, I've been working hard to try to see that the public, the advisory councils, and the county work together for what I believe is a common goal in, you know, bettering the community. I think within a relationship, the foundation of that is through open communication, honesty, and a win-win approach. And with regards to the Halcyon Road project, we as an Area 5 group went to the public to try to fill what they thought was important about this project. We presented the facts to them in various ways. We just sent out what the county's package was, laying out the various alternatives and the various phases, and just presented the facts. We didn't have a bias one way or another. We just wanted to see what they felt. We did this by sending out 350 emails personally. We also sent it out through the Cypress Ridge Homeowners Association email group. We sent out an article in the Cypress Ridge newsletter. We CC'd Bayview Estates through this, and we sent articles to the press. And then we also had a town hall meeting where we invited Cacho, Dale Ramey, and area, the Halcyon Village representative to speak at. What we got out of that feedback was from those meetings and that information presented was we had an overwhelming support for Phase 1A, which is the repaving and widening. We had an overwhelming opposition to Alternate 17 as being the loss of prime ag land and being too costly and no lack of funding. We had a fairly apathetic feeling towards Phase 1, which is alternate 19 and 20, as most people didn't feel it was a big enough issue to address. But if they did have an issue, they leaned towards alternate 20 as being the best of both worlds. They thought the roundabout issue would be too confusing and that Phase 20, a cost-effective version of Phase 20, would be the best solution towards that. And an overwhelming opposition to Phase 2, the climbing lane. Nobody saw a need for that. They found it to be overly costly, and that it would cause you to invoke your powers of eminent domain, which would prove costly as far as litigation and very controversial and unpopular. So they suggest you do not do that. So we recommend that you support Phase 1A to not lose the STIP funding, and that you approve of alternate 20 of Phase 1 and deny Phase 2.
Thank you for your comments, and I want to especially thank you for praising Supervisor Sajjan. It's not very often that we get that from the public, and I agree with you. He's an outstanding supervisor. With that,
yes, I'm Dixon, Jack Reggie Dixon. Dion. I'm the president of
followed by Reggie Dion. Mr. Dixon, I'm sorry.
I'm president of Cypress Ridge Owners Association, and I'm here. I've been working with Kevin and Reg Dion, also with SCCA, and I'm in support of what Reg says. Most of our residents in Cypress Ridge that I've heard from are primarily concerned with the safety issues of Halcyon. Nobody that I've talked to is in support of the climbing lanes. As far as the intersection goes, we'd like to see some improvement there with the least impact on any ag land. So I'd like to go on record with that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Reggie Dion, followed by Richard Murray.
Hello. I'm Reggie Dion. I live in Cypress Ridge. I'm on the South County Advisory Council. I represent Area 5. And I'm speaking for myself. Kevin and I and Jack and Jerry back there, we all worked together on a proposal which Mr. Caccio has seen two or three times. And I'm just here to second what Kevin said and just emphasize that I personally have a lot of concerns about the climbing lane or Phase 2. And I really would prefer that or recommend that the county try to keep the truck traffic on Route 1 and not mix it with the agricultural traffic and the faster-moving passenger kind of traffic on Lower Halcyon. So, again, all I want to do is to second what Kevin said. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Richard, I want to apologize, too, because I don't think I gave you the opportunity to answer a question earlier as a representative of SLOCOG. So if you need more than 3 minutes, if you're answering part of that question that Supervisor Patterson or somebody else asked, I'll give you an extra minute or two to work with you, because I certainly don't apologize for cheating you out of the opportunity to come up.
I appreciate that. I won't need more than 3 minutes. Richard Murphy, I'm staff with the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. We're the Regional Transportation Planning and Funding Organization. And there's been some discussion today about these STIP funds and the Phase 1A component. And I just wanted to address a comment or question that Supervisor Patterson raised and also Supervisor Sajjan, relative to those STIP funds as it's presented in the staff report to go towards the widening of Halcyon and the shoulders and the overlay. There is a timing, obviously, and we'd like to work with the county and help shepherd the final approval of those funds, but what we do need to do and need to have assurance of so that we can feel comfortable in it, so that we do meet the expectation of what the San Luis Obispo Council Government's Board did approve in 2001, which was improvements, operational, and safety at the intersection. So having the assurance that an alternative is selected and is moving forward with the finance plan that provides comfort level, we certainly will sign off on that allocation request and work with Public Works to make certain that those funds are, in fact, awarded for the Phase 1A project. Relative to should those funds lapse, what happens to them? They do come back ultimately to the region, to San Luis Obispo County and the incorporated communities at a later date. Does the SLOCOG board have the ability to earmark and or reserve the same $2 million to this project for a later date, they could do that as well. So I just wanted to make that clarification, if that's at all helpful.
Thank you. And before you sit down, Supervisor Patterson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Murphy, is Phase 1A, which is the widening of Halcyon from the intersection to the base of the grade, is that considered part of the intersection project? So if
yeah,
we move you, forward with you're, that. You're,
yeah, your staff had enough foresight to have that scope well-defined. The footprint did include that. So there is recognition to just the way funding sources are these days to build independent utility type projects that are fundable, and you know we've assisted with the county in terms of providing funding most recently to the Willow Road interchange as a southbound on off ramp, which we hope to finalize those funds. So yes, it's important at times to look at independent utility of a larger project, and we see Phase One as being a two-step process as the Public Works has presented to you, but again, just with the assurance that the ultimate intersection improvement is done, whichever alternative your board so chooses.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was our last request to speak, so we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Would like to Supervisor Asajian?
Thank you. I'm personally in agreement in a lot of things has been said here, and even though I met the statement before we took a break that 17 won't happen, I'm here, but I think that was the wrong statement because any Tuesday, any three votes can take anything any which way possible. But I personally.
But we understand where you feel.
Yes, thank you. And that was the whole idea. And we heard about the money. It's exactly what I said before our break, what can happen, because having served on Slocock board and all five supervisors do serve on that board, they have a say about the whole schmear. Now, I want to start making motions. I don't want to include all in one because it's one of those days that three of us have to agree on any given motion. And if I put them in a package and one of us disagree, then it's not fair because there are certain items we can possibly agree on it today and some that we might not. The areas that I have the biggest disappointment is early on I said I won't approve 17, which included the uphill widening and adding lanes, simply because that will take a lot of farmland, and I oppose that, and maybe something I can be introduced later on that won't touch any farmland. The additional money, I know that this money cannot go to Willow. Nobody has to make me understand it any better, but I don't want any money at any time on my watch to come from Area 2 to this connection here, because Willow is what I'm spiritually, it has become a religion. We need to have that in place to ease off the congestion problems, be a benefit for the entire community, not just a given community within a development. And once that in place, I'm not sure I accept the statement that Halcyon is a connecting link to 101, because in order to be connected to 101, you have to go yet to another maze, which is Briscoe. And the time has come, or should have been there, that knowing that we're interconnected, all of the jurisdictions have to be working together. As I do have meetings with the officials of City of Rio Grande to touch bases as what kind of developments we have within close to our jurisdiction, so we have a say and understanding. So I know that Briscoe and City of Rio Grande has been in front of the Slocock. I know there are some funding issues there as how it needs to be taken care of. Now, one of the major issues for me that I will never go to Phase 2, and I'm going to read a statement from staff reporting, which is found on page C-373, and this is how it reads. Existing residents, in order to meet the objectives of the project, due to the nature of acquisition, the residents would be forced to change their current lifestyle and relocate. This impact is considered significant, unavoidable, and adverse. And this is why some people left communism and came to America to escape this. I would not support this at any given time. I've said time and time before, I don't support condemnation unless, as I have done in the past, in the areas where you sit on 5 acres and the county needs about 10, 12 feet of your property in order to put a major road through with the blessing of the members of that given community. Now, the argument could be that this is not going to happen 10, 15 years from now or 12 years, but we as decision makers got to put ourselves in their shoes and go home every day to say that, well, I only have 10 years to live here. It's like having a major disease when you're told by your doctor you have 6 months to live. It's not a fair statement to make. And are you to disclose this to your when you put your house on the market so you don't have to deal with this 10 years from now, and what would that do to your values of your real estate? What if you have family with kids? Well, where do you move to? What if you have close connections to your neighborhood and have that feeling of where you live? I, for one, you can tell from the cars I drive, I don't like to sell stuff. I like to hold on to that. And that's my nature, though. That's I love the house I live in. Might not fit my style today, will be tomorrow, but the neighbors, everything comes into the picture. So for all of that reason, I will never, as an individual, as I said before, will go through this realignment. I am for improvements. I'm not for the realignment. I know some people will be hesitant as what we do with certification of the EIR. But we heard from staff, from council, where we the legal advice comes through. By certifying a master environmental impact report is not approving a project. But it is here. We spend the money. We need to have that in place. As far as the CEQA, I'm not going to approve that because that's my understanding, again, council, attached to Alternative 17, correct, by approving CEQA that's in front of us.
I'm Tim McNulty with the County Council's office. The staff has presented to you three different possibilities. All of them include some version of an intersection project, as well as Phase 1A, the shoulder improvements, and the climbing lane.
Okay.
They're just three different versions of the intersection improvements. If your intent is, and I don't know where you're going exactly, but if your intent is to improve Phase 1A, for example, the shoulder improvements, you would still need some sort of an environmental document to do that. And I would suggest that, you know, we come back either this afternoon or next Tuesday and have a set of findings that would go along with adopting the Master Environmental Impact Report and approving those particular improvements.
Okay, let me tell you what I have in mind. I know sometimes it's difficult to understand me, but let me try my very best. And I'll do one at a time because I think somewhere where I want to go with this, there are concerns. And I've been there, and I know that the times, the day I would go there, there's no traffic. And as Ms. Clark, I said, operating the shop, she told us when are the rush hours. I think if we want to get rid of our rush hours, maybe the county can change its 8 to 5 to 9 to 6, will get us off the road, and the rest of the people will get where they're going, and that will ease off some of the congestions we have here. Because we bring everybody to San Luis to work, and that's why the population in San Luis increases twice or three times than its own population during the work hours. If we all change it from 8 to 5 to 9 to 6 and 10 to 7 different businesses, you know, it's simple, doesn't cost anything, don't have mitigate any farmland to do that. But it's easier said than that, and we have to complicate issues to make you feel like we earn what we get. Having said that, let me go try to. My first motion, Mr. Chair, will be that we'll go ahead and certify the final master environmental impact report.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion by you need to turn your microphone back on, Mr. McNulty.
We need to certify the Master Environmental Impact Report if we're going to improve some version of some project.
I'm getting there.
If we're not going to do that, then we don't need to certify.
No, I will.
Okay.
And again, I'm not going to do that because the fear of losing the $2 million. So be it. If we lose it, I'm not crazy losing any money, but I don't believe that is the case, and my making of different motions is not based on losing the money, but to see some improvements come to the picture. But Mr. McNulty, since you brought that up, because where I get and talk about Alternative 20, I want us to be able to get to another focused environmental report that will address the issue of Halcyon folks, if it's from Ladue or from Temple Road, to be able to get on Halcyon and be able to make a left turn during the rush hours that we're all rushing to get to work or to school or wherever we have to be going. So when is the proper time to do that?
Well, if, for example, you didn't like any of the three intersection improvements that were talked about today, you could still use your master environmental impact report and perhaps prepare something like a supplemental environmental impact report, which would address the changes that you'd like to see, and that would be circulated and commented upon, and you could then use it for some other version of some other project.
Then let me go back to my original motion that we'll go ahead and certify the final master environmental impact report. And there's a second, Mr. Chair, if you want to call for the question.
Does a second agree with that? Okay. Madam Clerk, are you clear on
the motion?
Now I am. Now you're clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Lenthal?
Aye. Mr. Shajian, if you continue.
Thank you. My next motion is going to be that we do improvement on Halcyon Road from the bottom of the hill to closer to the bridge. And the reason I'm going along with that, because that's, we're not including a secondary lane. We're improving the road itself by widening it. And widening, to me, will serve a purpose. If you have an agriculture tractor truck coming out of those fields and need to get on the road, and there'll be additional area for them to get rid of their mud and tires and everything else that usually comes on a good road, and also maybe give them a distance and time to get into the traffic at a proper time. So by widening the road, and I want to be very sure that by widening road, I'm not giving you any thinking that this is will end up by a secondary lane going up the hill, and the answer will be no. So this is only widening. I would call it improvement because the road itself today is very bad. And it gets bad because even summertime you have water intrusion from the farm, watering of the farmland. It's not just wintertime, and the heavy-duty or heavy-weighted tractors, trucks to get on the road, it needs those improvements, even if we were not discussing enough of those issues here today. So you're calling it a 1A. I don't want to call it 1A because when I call 1A, is there a 1B? Is there a 1C? I need some assurance that this is just improvement of the Halcyon Road from the bottom of the hill closer to the bridge. So that will be my next motion.
And Supervisor Sargent, I have a question. By when you say widening and improving, that includes the bike lane as far as the width of the improvement of the shoulder?
I'm okay with the bike lanes. I just want to be assured myself and the rest of the public and the communities that this is no way it's going to take us in the future of saying, well, it's wide enough for us to get a lane up the hill.
Mr. Flynn, are you clear on that, or would you like to comment?
Dave Flynn, Public Works. Yeah, certainly the project that's defined as 1A in the EIR would be solely from the base of grade up to whatever you select as phase one project at the intersection. And it does not have any capacity to go beyond that to the south in terms of a climbing lane addition.
And I want this spelled out, reported, so that in the future, if we're challenged, the language is very clear as what is the motion is, Mr. McNulty.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor Shajian, if you could look at your staff report on page C312, there's a graphic, there's a map that describes, I think, the limits of the 2001 STIP-funded project that was Halcyon Road Phase 1A improvements. It doesn't go all the way up to the intersection of State Highway 1. It stops short of that, and it doesn't include the climbing lane. And if that is what you're talking about...
Well, I understand that part, but I don't. This will be an excuse for future to say, well, it's wide enough for us to just attach another portion here and go up the hill.
Well, I just thought this might represent the extent of what you were talking about, and I'm not sure about that.
Are we clear on that, Madam Clerk? No.
What I hear you saying, though, I know what the map looks like. I know what all that looks like. What I meant to make sure I understand for the motion is that you've asked for a motion that basically is what staff is calling Phase 1A. But I heard you say you didn't want it called Phase 1A. So
I just want to be sure that, once we call it 1A, you're not going to come back and say, well, 1A was part of 1B. And I don't know what 1B it is today. It can be maybe putting a climbing link. I want to be sure that that's not the case here. When we said 1A, we're just improving housing from bottom of the hill to the close to the bridge.
Yes, the EIR doesn't define what a 1B would be. That would be Phase 2, which is a separate
action. Which is I'm going to get here in a little bit.
So, again, that would just be the 8-foot shoulders between the limits shown in the environmental impact
report. All that. Okay, yes. That's my motion.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second on that motion?
Yes, I'll second that motion.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Sajjan, second by Supervisor Patterson. A roll call, please.
Will you restate the motion one more time? Because there's a lot of talking going back and forth here, and then you're saying that's your motion. So
approve Phase 1A for immediate construction.
That works.
With the understanding that there was no 1B or C after that.
Well, that I got that's was is that I understood was your intent, and I'll put that in as your intent.
Okay. Second, agree with that, sir?
Yeah.
Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Sajjan?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Lenthal?
Aye. Mr. Sajjan?
I have some questions.
Sure. Supervisor Mr. Sajjan, if I may, I have a couple of questions of staff that I'd like to get some clarification on before we move forward.
Please.
If I may. And then perhaps a comment relative to those questions. Several of the folks that spoke this afternoon or this morning were from the Halcyon area, and they raised the issue of the impact of any activity down at the intersection of Halcyon Road and Highway 1. And I'm curious to know if there has been an analysis of how that traffic or how any of the prospective changes in that intersection would affect the community of Halcyon, if there's been an analysis of whether or not one of the alternatives is better than another relative to traffic impacts on Halcyon, because that seems to be a major concern of residents of that community.
Yes, Dave Flynn with Public Works Department. Halcyon Road, actually I'll go back in time a little bit, and the project study report that was originally done for what we would do work here, either improving Halcyon Road or Route 1, we looked at how we could divert traffic to Valley Road, perhaps get it going up Highway 1 or other alternate routes. But no matter how we looked at it, there was always some level of increasing traffic on Halcyon Road. And that traffic, again, is destined to really the five cities primarily, and then about 40% to the Route 101 corridor. With that increasing traffic, what we heard as well is this concern about access into and out of the town of Halcyon, and that is an issue particularly at AM and PM areas. It is not addressed in terms of the scope of the project in the EIR. If we were to look at intersection improvements there, that would be a separate project that would have to be taken forward. There is a proposed development. I don't recall exactly the status that's also located at the east side of that intersection that may be developing a left turn pocket, and that was something that I know our staff was looking at doing some future improvements there. But again, that would be outside of what is proposed in the EIR.
Mr. Ramey, were you going to speak to that?
I was just saying that project is still moving forward, but it hasn't. I don't believe it's gone to the Planning Commission yet.
In your opinion, Mr. Flynn or Mr. Ramey, will signaling that intersection have an adverse impact on the community of Halcyon?
You're speaking of signalizing Route 1 intersection?
Yes.
There will be some result in terms of platoons that are created from that signalization. Currently, since the intersection is controlled by stop signs, it's a metered flow, continuous traffic coming up there. When we find when we put in signals, we're going to have a platoon of traffic coming through, and ideally that opens up gaps for traffic entering the stream once that platoon passes. So, again, that also is based off of what the future operation of the Pike and Halcyon Road, which we do communicate regularly with the city of Arroyo Grande, what future improvements may occur there. But in general, there should be more gaps created because you have platoons.
Okay. Yes, that's sort of my vision as well. Instead of having a continuous stream, it'll be pulse, so to speak, due to the light. Before we move forward, if I may, Supervisor Sajjan, I just want to make a couple of comments regarding this issue, items that I'm considering as we move forward and make the decisions here. I want to again emphasize the fact that before I came on the board, projects were approved on the Napomo Mesa that required mitigation of this intersection as part of the approval. And I think it's essential that we move forward with that, or else we're not living up to the agreement that we made, or this board, the Board of Supervisors, made back then when those projects were approved. And development continues to be approved on the Mesa, and we need to address the traffic impacts of that development. And I prefer that we do that prior to it becoming a crisis rather than waiting until it becomes a crisis. And sometimes that's hard to do. We're all concerned about the potential impacts of that, but we do have to realize that development's going to occur. And I don't think that this board or any other board will say that there can be no more development on the Napomo Mesa because we have a traffic impact at Halcyon and Highway 1. I don't see that occurring. And again, as we've seen in other infrastructure projects, whether it be water issues or road issues, the longer we wait, the more expensive it gets and the more difficult it is to address the issue. And that's essentially where we are with the Taft Interchange now and the Willow Road project. It's become so expensive that we've had a hard time getting the money together to fund that project. And so I think in order to be forward-thinking, as some of you have suggested, and address this issue before it becomes a crisis is the prudent thing to do. And oftentimes we think the consequence of an action is going to be far worse than it actually turns out to be. And I do think that we do need to continue to address the issue and not let it become a crisis. So that's my position, and with that, we can turn it back over to Supervisor Sajjan.
Supervisor Sajjan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Patterson. I agree with you that improvements are needed, but realignment need not to be part of it. And the realignment does nothing but raises impacts as we classify, even in the environmental impact report, as class one, which is worst-case scenario. But instead of talking about that, let me go to consideration of alternate 20. And the reason, and again, 19 and 20 came because of last time this Board of Supervisors agreed that realignment wasn't the best there is, and because of that, I did hold a meeting with Caltrans and all the stakeholders to discuss, to tell them how we felt about the realignment, and it was from that point on they said, okay, bring something different or else, and we'll allow the signalization at that point. Because in the past, with other developments, we were supposed to improve this by adding traffic lights, but Caltrans had to told us that you cannot put the traffic lights unless you realign it. And I stand to be corrected if any of my statements are not correct. But at that meeting, Caltrans was very forthcoming to say, work together, we will work with you, come up with a project. And I'm reading the staff report, the only place that I see Caltrans, that I asked the gentleman from Caltrans, that they given the tacit approval, and I had to look for that word for exactly what it meant. Can we put the alternative 20 on the screen, please? Okay, what I'd like to do is focus on alternative 20 and let everything else go away. Easier said than done. But what I would like to do, though,
work as closely as you can with all the stakeholders. When keep the Halcyon where it is, don't go into the farmland. And let's see if that's a doable before we say this is the best way we can draw the lines where it makes sense from the traffic point of view, engineering point of view. But we didn't get to this point because the best traffic solutions that came to us was yet another alternative. We have come this far. One of my concerns is stay out of farmland as much as you can, and then have a supplemental environmental report that will address the issues of exiting from the community of Halcyon, from Temple of Halcyon to Halcyon Road. If we had a traffic light on Pike and Halcyon, and we have a traffic light here, I was thinking we can synchronize where you can have a green arrow either direction when they have more than two cars queuing, let's say, or when a car approaches the exit from their community with some sensors, but not having something at the other end, which is, yeah, it is Royal Randy territory. But I think we need to open the door, bring into the discussion Royal Randy and the, more so the community of Halcyon, as if we were to reconsider, redesign Alternative 20, how to address all those issues, and then bring it back for a final approval. Does that make sense, Mr. McNulty, from a legal point of view? And maybe you want to come and testify, if that's okay with you, Mr. Chairman?
I'm not sure we'll call it testifying, but we're certainly here to give witness. I don't think you're sworn in as testimony. But
well, the reason I said testify, because I don't want any of what we discuss here be changed later on.
Of clarification. Mary Rentz with Morrow Group. What I wanted to tell you is that as one of the mitigation measures that we put into the master EIR was to review the section north of Halcyon Road to the Pike as a subsequent project under this environmental impact report so that it can come back and be visited later, probably with a mitigated negative declaration, once a design was made for that area that goes from the north part of the project to connecting with Arroyo Grande.
Okay, that's the Pike and Halcyon, but what kind of a consideration and or attention was given to the folks who want to exit?
That would include, you mean on Ladue?
On Ladue or on Temple.
Yeah, that would be in that same section. And all of those subsequent improvements could be evaluated in a project. And so we covered it under the EIR to make sure that all of that area could be covered. And this, the master EIR could be used. And further environmental review could be tiered off of that. And I just wanted to make that clarification that it is included.
So what is the correct wording, Mr. McNulty, that we can give direction that will include your organization to consider it, not to do it, into this redesign? Or
Supervisor Shahjean, let me just make sure I understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And that is, today you want to certify the master EIR. You want to approve the Phase 1
A.
You don't want to approve any of the three alternative necessarily for the intersection today. Is that correct?
Correct.
But rather, you'd like some variation on Alternative 20 to be studied and brought back to you at some point in the future.
Yes.
With the appropriate environmental document. You can do all of those things. There would be the need for either a supplemental or a subsequent EIR to address whatever changes we make to Alternative 20 that haven't been yet studied in the existing MEIR, if there are such changes.
And you the other thing we that in need, the form of a motion?
Just one more thing I wanted to add. All the packages of findings that have been presented to the board today contemplate some version of Phase 2 and some version of an intersection improvement. We do need to make a set of findings that would go along with just Phase 1A. And I was going to inquire of the staff or perhaps Ms. Rentz to see if that's something that we could bring back perhaps after lunch. Because we in all these packages that we have, that we've got lots of variations, but the one that we don't have is just simply Phase 1A with no other improvements approved.
Yeah, that's why I think in my own thinking, Alternative 20 will address those issues. And I think there are possibilities with an Alternative 20
to revisit and make it a more often acceptable project with the future either subsequent or supplemental EIRs?
That can certainly be done, and we can use the MEIR to tier off of that to create this, this additional document. I think probably we need to hear from the staff about when we could bring back, whether it would be this afternoon or next week, some package of CEQA findings that would go along with just approving Phase 1A, which the board wants to do today. We need to make CEQA findings for that. We need to use the MEIR to do that.
And I'd like to, if I may, allow staff some time to think about that, because Supervisor Patterson's been patiently waiting for a question. So if you could also answer Mr. McNulty's question while you're thinking about that. Supervisor Patterson?
Well, my question is to...
Microphone's off.
I thought I did.
Oh, you're off.
My question is to Supervisor Asajjian. In looking at Alternative 20, and I can support that, what you are asking staff to do is to take a look at the possibility of redesigning it to minimize the impact of the alignment on any agricultural land. So basically that's all we're doing, right?
From that point of view, if you look at the upper left corner where the road comes right through the farmland and the existing road is right around it, if we were to keep it there, what will happen? And also revisit the master EIR and see if we have addressed the issues of the community of Halcyon, them being able to, because traffic lights, in my thinking, will help them to come to get on the road faster, and some might disagree, because when you have a stop and go, you keep feeding the traffic rather than feed portion of the traffic, then you have a break. And I think that can be of help. But I like to read that in a report that say so. And apparently there were some issues addressed on Pike and Halcyon. But now that we are more focused and concentrating, if that's the choice of the supervisors, to work the details out on Alternative 20 as how best we can stay out of farmland and still address those concerns by the community that has come here and spoken about their issues, and that needs to come at a later date where you have the time and worked on it and connect to the CEQA and to Master EIR. But I don't know if that I address your question or not. But your first question, yes, this is what we see, but how can we do it better to stay out of farmland completely?
Then I hear two issues.
Okay.
And one is to minimize or reduce the impact on ag land, a redesign of Alternative 20, and also an analysis of how the signaling of that intersection will impact the community of Halcyon.
Correct.
Mr. Flynn, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dave Flynn with Public Works. Yeah, that's what I also heard was really provide some direction to us in terms of analyzing that stretch of Halcyon Road leading to the city of Aurora Grande. That would require some coordination with the city of Aurora Grande on the Pike and what will be the appropriate traffic control device there. The item on alternate 20 and how we can minimize that, currently what's shown on the graphic here is really a kind of a worst case type of layout. We too would want to try to minimize that impact to the lands. Our issues there are really, you can see that the existing approach from the north has a heavy angle to it as it intersects Route 1, and that's really our design constraint that we have to work with. So in meeting Caltrans standards and working through that process, we can certainly look at minimizing what impacts exist there. Finally, just for the findings and what you might be taking action on, I would also kind of point out what SLOCOG has stated, that we do need to have some type of intersection solution adopted so that we could move forward with 1A funding, and that may be a consideration you would want to have.
Well, do you want to come back this afternoon or next week with something to do with Alternative 20?
Well, Alternate 20...
Because as I see it, it's not going to get my approval, even though I like this more than anything else I've seen, but if I approve it as is, then this is it. And this is it. This is a worst-case scenario, as you put it. What is the best-case scenario? Let's go there. And how much time would it take us to go there?
To go there may take a lot of iterations and review detail with Caltrans, and just like the roundabout process could take us several months to get through that.
So what assurance do we have to do anything here, Mr. McNulty?
Supervisor Shadjian, it sounds to me like there's a consensus of the board with regard to the Phase 1A, but not a consensus with regard to what to do at this interchange. And it also sounds like it's going to take a while to get there. There's some risk of losing STIP money if you spend the time to do that. If the board is willing to assume that risk and go out for further study, and it sounds like that's the option that's on the table, then I would suggest we come back with a set of findings either this afternoon or next week that would allow us to approve Phase 1A so that that work can go forward based on the MEIR while the other things are being looked at.
Okay.
May I suggest,
please,
perhaps that we can tentatively approve alternate 20 and ask staff to address those two issues that you raised, Supervisor Shadjian, to minimize the impact on ag land as well as do an analysis of traffic impacts on the community of Halcyon. Are you comfortable with just giving them direction to do that?
Well, I am because I'm being here, but I want to deal with the general public's understanding. When we approve tentatively, what does it mean? What should the public that's here needs to understand? What do we really do?
It means that that the consensus of the board was to move forward, but the board didn't take a final action to move forward because it lacked something that it was looking for. In this case, further definition about alternative 20. So really, it amounts to staff direction is what it amounts
to. So we can tentatively approve this and give direction to staff to come back with the concerns we have discussed here. Is that the case?
Yes, I believe you can do that.
Okay. Then,
Mr. Sergeant, may I ask a question just before you go? Mr. Flynn, is a week appropriate? Does that give you enough time to do the research and analysis and things that you need to do to prepare to come
actually,
back for it?
I'd like for your board to consider looking at the 20th and not next week. Okay. So that gives them 2 weeks to come
because
back.
Of the time constraints we already have?
Correct.
Yes, I think the 20th would be something we could come back with a little bit more determination on what the impact on that northern leg would be.
Thank you. Supervisor Shadjian, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
That's okay. Then, having the understanding and of the legal counsel, I'll move that we tentatively approve alternative 20 with a direction given to staff to come back with a minimum impact on farmland. If we can help it at all, no impact on farmland. And revisiting the issue brought forward by City of Fort Grandy and the community of Halcyon about their egress to Halcyon Road.
I'm sorry, could you say that, the last part of that again?
How would they gain access to Halcyon on and off Halcyon?
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Mr. Chairman, can I just comment one last time? Sorry about
Mr. McNulty.
Sorry about all this. With regard to Phase 1A, which today was approved not tentatively but actually approved, we still need some findings for that. I think it would be appropriate for the board to adopt those findings at this meeting on the 20th, but I think the staff ought to be instructed to bring back a separate set of findings that just includes Phase 1A in the event that the board doesn't reach an agreement on what to do with Alternative 20. That way we can at least sew that end up at that meeting in 2 weeks' time.
Mr. Sajjan, is that part of your motion?
Does it have to be part of a motion, Mr. McNulty?
Think it's out.
It would be good if it was, because it would explain why we didn't adopt a set of secret findings for Phase 1A today.
Okay. You put into the words, and I'll accept it as a motion.
So that in addition to the motion on the table that at the meeting of the 20th, the staff will return with the required CEQA findings necessary to approve the work in Phase 1A as a standalone project.
And I include that into my motion, Madam Clerk.
Thank you. Does the second concur?
He speaks better English than I do.
Okay, yeah.
And I'll concur.
And your motion also does include that you're continuing this to March 20th, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Correct.
Okay, motion by Supervisor Shadjian, second by Supervisor Patterson. A roll call vote, please.
Mr. Shadjian?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
And I want to thank the public that took time to...
Okay, let me get a clarification.
We don't...
Oh, okay. I'll thank them a little later.
Alternative 20 also includes the climbing lane as phase two, the way it is it not? Does it not?
Dave Flynn with Public Works. The way the board letter is written, it conjoins those alternative one and phase two. So if you're going to take a separate action on each, it would seem like you would need to have some type of declaration on phase two as well.
Mr. McNulty?
Mr. Chairman, I thought that this was something that we could address when we return. What we have is, if you'll look in your staff report on page C3-160 and all the pages after that, that's the set of findings that the staff prepared to approve Alternative 20. And it does indeed make many references to the impacts that are associated with Phase 2. However, today the board was quite clear in that it wasn't approving Phase 2. And so I thought that we could use those findings, given that those references to Phase 2 would just simply be irrelevant. The board hasn't approved it. The board's indicated it's not going to approve it anytime soon.
I just wanted to be sure that, because the motion said Alternative 20, that it didn't include everything in Alternative 20.
Yeah, it's not this exhibit B3. We'll be back with a separate exhibit that has a whole different set of CEQA findings, one for just Phase 1A and then a combined one for Phase 1A and Alternative 20 without Phase 2.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Supervisor Session.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this has been quite a lengthy process, especially for the folks that work very hard. If it's folks from the Halcyon Temple, folks who live on the top of the hill of Halcyon Road, and folks who represent Area 5 on Nipomo Community Advisor Council, I really want to thank them because they're volunteers. They took their own time, a lot of hours put into this process. I hope that what we were able to accomplish here, somehow it paid off, maybe not to the extent that your wishes were, but hopefully we addressed most of the issues, and it's always difficult to make all of you happy, but it's not because we didn't try. So thank you for your patience and cooperation.
And congratulations again on being acknowledged for doing a great job on this.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to thank staff, too. I know Public Works has put a tremendous amount of energy in this project, and it's been contentious at times and controversial at times. It's never easy, and staff, they're the ones that have to put the words on the page, and I appreciate all the effort that you folks went to to get us to this point.
Well, Mr. Ramey, he got all the gray hair he can. Yeah, I'd rather have gray hair than no hair, but so you're better off.
Okay. We will move into closed session. I received no request to speak from public comment. Is there anyone from the public requesting to speak on our closed session items from the public? I see no one stepping forward, so I'll close public comment. Mr. Lindholm, approximately how long will we be in public comment or closed session?
20 minutes.
Thank you. Meeting will be adjourned until 2 o'clock. Upstairs, Jim?
Yeah.